2-3 vigilance flying. It is Vampire White Hawk.
Vampire White Hawk, yeah.
Also said by Evan Irwin, by the way, it is not, in Magic.
Someone else had another review. One that they were pushing, and I was like, no, it is Vampire White Hawk.
No, Irwin just said it in his set review white. He did set review white and blue. It has to be Vampire White Hawk. It's perfect.
Vampire White Hawk?
The most broken alt uncommon I've ever seen.
How good is that limited card?
It's not beatable. And furthermore, there's nothing, it's gonna rule the skies.
Are we recording
it's
yet?
It's a small.
It's recording right now.
Whoa, welcome to Hot Pocket Chat.
Hot Pocket.
No trademark.
Yeah, no, this is no the trademark. This is the more generic
you
Hot Pocket.
You can have that one. That's for the
people. Generic Hot Pockets. Yeah.
You can have that.
You can just change the word a little
pocket
bit.
Pocket Hot, yeah.
Yeah. Hot Pockets.
We'll
That's
heat up
enough.
Your pocket. Hoka.
This triumphant return is going to push the limits to the one Steve get listener, right? If he's still paying attention.
Do we even have any way to put this on the internet?
Yeah. I can still.
I went to the homepage. It's gone.
Oh yeah, plenty of ways to put it on the internet.
Dan, he has a hat in the middle of the
table. No. It'll go up on MTG Cast.
Oh,
we can host it there.
Okay, cool. Because our own website is gone, and I don't believe
the Libsyn page is gone. Yeah, because I didn't want to pay money for
which
it.
Which is reasonable. Which is reasonable.
It's been hard living
without
the donations these past few months.
Yeah.
You know,
thousands of dollars in a box. Just
this is why he's eating Hot Pockets now.
Hot Pocket.
Welcome to Magic Chat.
Ooh, it's so weird.
I don't even know how to start this. I think we need to rebrand. I really do.
As what?
Like a little bit. I don't know.
Welcome to Magic Chat.
Your quarterly Magic News magazine or something.
We're
like
quarterly.
Audio. Yeah, it's we're going to basically, we're not doing this every week at this point, but quarterly. Yeah, it's the plan with set releases.
Can we just be We Dem Boys and in parentheses, Magic?
We Dem Boys.
Sounds good to me.
How many votes do we
really
need?
I just really wanted
two.
Dan to say We Dem Boys.
Oh, that, speaking of
that B-O-Y-Z
GQ, I was
in the
CVS down the road.
B-O-I-Z.
And there was Boys. GQ is the new cover model for GQ is, of course, the worst Joker of all time, Jared Leto. And
he's easily in the top five Jokers of all time.
Aren't there like, there's probably like
I think there's like five.
I'm not sure he makes it. He makes being a good-looking man seem like some sort of awful joke. Like, he just looks, you're like, yeah, oh, Chris, you're pretty, but you're pretty in that way that you're just like, this is terrible. You should be ashamed of yourself. Like, and
he's
not
just trying to make everyone else feel better.
Well, it's also like he was in Fight Club, right? It was like just funny the pretty boy had to
Yeah, his whole career has been based on him getting beat up for being kind of weird-looking. Like, which is weird,
but ultimately steely-eyed and cute.
Yeah, I guess so. Good for him. But he just, I remember one quote where he apparently, after everybody bashed the movie because apparently, I didn't see it, but I heard it was horrible.
It was really good.
He claimed that he'd been betrayed because he thought it was going to be more of an art house style film. And so,
something different.
He thought that's why he was going all in on the character because he felt it was going to be a really,
losing this giant bottle of water.
Did he read the script?
It's hard to say what he did because he was the most out there, wild, and intense actor of all time.
Yep.
Yeah, and he stood by that, like, they tricked me, it was the last minute.
Yeah. That's why, you know, he's too extreme for reading scripts.
That movie made a lot of money.
It made a lot less money.
Doesn't mean it's good.
Imagine how much they make when those are good, when the big blockbusters are
Yeah,
good.
Right?
Well, that's when you have the Avengers.
Don't just use
facts to
prove my opinions, okay?
How dare you?
Yeah, this is America.
As if we've learned anything Neil Tyson. Recently, that facts are not desperately important to the discourse.
He's like the best regrettable rock star, too, and he just so happens to be a rock star. With, you know, the
Did anyone see the back and forth between Ross Merriam and Kevin Jones after he won the the world slot? Kevin Jones is going to be playing in Worlds, and I can't remember who said it, but someone was like, I finally figured it out. Kevin Jones is the Homer Simpson to your Frank Grimes, Ross. And one of the comments was, I can play 23 lands in my blue eye control deck because I'm Homer Simpson.
That is spectacular.
Yeah, it's good that you brought him up. I did want to say the last time Ross was on the show with us, he fell asleep with his laptop. Well, we were joking, but he did burn to death. That's why he's not joining us today. He was in fact consumed by his laptop, and that is why for the first time we're having a set review show without Ross. R.I.P. and P in peace.
That was such a, that was such a long con. He was just rolling off. Yeah. Hey, speaking of the Worlds, if you're going to go there, what do you guys, I heard a little scuttlebutt about
BDM. We just talked, Ross is dead and you just want to move on to the news of the day.
We can still ask him questions. Ross, how do you feel?
Whoa. No, the people are talking about.
Rattle some chains.
Every once in a while snoring.
Yeah.
No, there were people talking, I don't know the full scoop, but basically BDM was catching some heat about, like, he actually isn't going to have a guaranteed spot, even though Helene said that he did on, like, a tweet.
Who?
So people are, BDM.
No, who wouldn't have the spot?
Oh, he doesn't get one, even though he won the Worlds.
You mean BBD?
BBD, sorry.
BBD.
Oh,
BBD's
oh,
not
oh.
going to have a spot next year guaranteed, even though he has all those promo points and all
their,
that.
Their names are too similar.
I know, sorry, I get it all the time.
Yeah, I was like, I don't
yeah,
think.
Yeah, wait, what? Yeah, no. BBD doesn't have a guaranteed spot, even though, you know, it's all the points or whatever. And so people were saying, like, some of the pros were saying, hey, that's like, he does, you know, we don't want someone to, like, they don't like the fact of a Grand Prix master, a draft master and all that. They want to, like, just qualify and have the points year in or year out. And it's like, but you need, and then Cedric was like, hey, you kind of need a narrative. And this is kind of cool to always have.
It was awesome.
Like, you know, have all Grand Prix mean a little bit more. Like, always need that.
Oh, BBD won Worlds, by the way. We haven't reported
in
a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way.
But anyway, so
it's
like
purely despite Ross for stealing his apartment.
Yeah. He doesn't have a spot guaranteed, and it's like he's getting a little. He's got like two sides of the camp. Someone saying he deserves it, other people saying like he took it very personal as he probably should. And they were like, no, no. What we meant to say is maybe that you don't need a spot to be a Grand Prix.
Yeah,
master,
I think
they got rid of now.
The idea of deserving is a little like.
But the guy's a grinder.
Yeah. And he ended up beating all of them.
Yeah.
Kind of like when Melissa got that, like, special invite in the top eight of the PT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
the two guys
people have different
pros.
Different definitions of deserve. Yeah.
The two finalists, I think were not platinum pros.
She went undefeated day one in that, too, that Pro Tour special invite.
I don't remember. I just remember Wolf Run.
There's nothing more upsetting than once the cheese has poured out of the hot pocket and it's just sort of pooled and cooled.
I'm not gonna lie, this is actually really good.
Don't yuck his yum.
Think about the things you eat though, of course it is.
Yeah, it's like perfect.
But like, and the thing that's troubling about it is you really shouldn't eat the cheese once it's cooled and it's outside the hot pocket. Like,
burn
it's
the
not
top
the
of your
fact
mouth.
That I'm eating it that you're complaining about, it's the fact that I literally went somewhere to purchase it. Hot pocket.
This is a decision you had to make ahead of time.
Yeah,
there's no impulse hot pocketing.
This is premeditated pocket. Like,
how long ago?
Multiple checks. You could impulsively purchase them, but then you must also impulsively eat them later on, and that's two failures of character.
You had a way out.
Susa built a wall. I hid them in the back of the fridge, but I couldn't do anything.
We should talk about stuff. We should.
We are
talking. Wait for Mike to finish. As I was saying,
people love it when we chew in the microphone.
Yeah,
so
he's doing it extra loud.
Dan hates that so bad.
Doesn't bother me that much.
So why are we here?
To talk about me watching one of the worst films I have ever seen this past week,
which is
London Has Fallen.
I feel like the sequel to some other city.
Generic action. No, it was a building that had fallen in the first one.
Was it
the White House?
Oh yes, yes,
yes.
Caldor.
Well, they moved it up. The whole city. Next time it's going to be a whole country. Or
probably.
Just freedom. Freedom has fallen.
I thought that movie was pretty good.
Which one? The White House or the London?
London.
Oh, it's terrible.
No, you didn't.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know you don't.
I got a mouthful of Hot Pocket and I'm happy.
The action sequences were,
one might say your mouth
just
was the Hot
straight
Pocket.
Video game sequences.
So bad for some reason.
That's
not what she said.
I don't like myself anymore.
We didn't like you in the first place.
Maybe I've done you a service. Maybe next time you go to eat a Hot Pocket, you'll just think about your own mouth for a while.
Come on, the Fiji water and the Hot Pocket? No one's wondering about this.
I'm all about the tap Fiji water now. No sponsorship. I really like Fiji water.
Do not make him laugh and spit water all over my equipment,
all
please.
Over the
My fucking mixer. It's gonna short out. Anyway, it was a terrible movie. All the action sequences were straight out of a video game. And it
that
was
could
really
be a good thing, but it
kind of
isn't.
Disturbing because I'm just getting very, very, very sick and tired of the trope of generic Middle Eastern villains. terrorist.
American Sniper 3. The White House has fallen again.
It was
Jason
Bourne.
The Muslims have attacked.
Yes,
a bunch of Christians
exactly shot
up schools. Like,
we'll band together with Israel and France and all the other horrible war machines to defend ourselves against these people standing
at
field.
Get those seven people.
Get
them.
Oh, I hate who we are as a country.
There they are.
I mean, there are
definitely aspects of us worth hating.
Yes. It's just I genuinely went to see Ghostbusters a third time because of the horrible people who were destroying it. The first two times, just because I loved it. It was great. But the third time, and as I did it, I remember that there was some dude out there who went to see American Sniper six times to stick it to the commies and the liberals and all this stuff like that. I'm like, literally deifying a sociopathic murderer who happened to have been a Marine. Like, it's just like, it's just weird. It's a weird movie culture.
Hey, he earned some of the medals he talked about. Like, let's be real.
For killing people.
Except before or after he camped out on top of the Superdome during Katrina shooting looters. That's one of his claims that he made.
Well, really?
Yes.
He claimed
that he and many other Special Forces troopers were on top of the Superdome shooting black people during Katrina. That was like a big claim. And people were like, yeah, he was defending shop owners. I'm like, what are you?
Can suddenly understand now why we would deify him. That's what a hero.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that what we pay these guys almost nothing for while sending them to a terrible desert to die for no reason. It's gotta be this.
Magic! Yes! Let's talk about our set review. Mike has notes.
That's why we're here.
Cody has notes.
To set you the fuck up for. We are here.
I was waiting for you to finish stuffing your face so we could actually talk.
For minutes.
I dare you to eat the congealed cheese.
There's not a chance. I don't want to clean this plate. I'm not looking forward to it.
That's also, the cleanup is terrible.
I'm going to go hide it somewhere and then find it in 6 months. Oh my God, I wonder if I'll find Bill's sandwich.
Chances are, just look for a real good hiding place, and I bet it's there already.
That sandwich is a 50s monster movie waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's your other roommate.
All right, kick us off there, Mr. McKenna. You have notes.
Oh.
What do you want to start
on first?
So
I think, because you had wanted to talk about it too, should we sunset briefly?
We can sunset.
I think we should do that.
I think we have plenty of time. I think this should be 4 hours. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's great.
I'm really wide awake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since I stopped having
caffeine.
I've
never heard you say that.
No caffeine has just changed my life.
Oh no, but the Hot Pocket's gonna drag you back down again.
I keep waking up waving to birds in the morning.
What are we doing, 15 minutes before the Hot Pocket's taken?
Yeah. My belly's rumbling, but I'm ready to go.
It's great when you eat the wrong things. You go from hunger pains to just like stomach pain.
It's because of this guy. What's his name?
Gearpour Guide.
Gearpour Guide showing me the way to the Hot Pockets. Come, friend, eat.
The toilet.
Stay a while on the toilet and listen.
I always go back to Deckard Cain.
All right, so it's sunset.
I've lost the Bane voice.
Shadows over.
I just can't do it. I don't remember how I did it.
You'll find it again.
And that was such a big part of my life.
After having played a lot of Shadows of Innistrad and Eldritch Moon, the collapse of the mechanics between the sets made it really bad. Like, I really enjoyed a lot of the gameplay, but the fact that they stranded every mechanic in Eldritch Moon, or in Shadows of Innistrad.
Yeah, clues not mattering anymore.
Delirium,
so.
Clues.
Everything, all the cool decks became essentially impossible to play. Like, you really, if you got the really good synergy set up from Shadows, you were great, or from Eldritch Moon, but like, I felt like drafts got really boring. And like, how often did you open your pack of Shadows of Innistrad and go, nothing, fucking nothing, I'm taking a common to buff out my deck?
I'll remember it fondly. Blue red spells was fun.
Yeah.
Blue green emerge was fun. And that was it. But I liked it.
And
fun.
It stinks
those,
because
those
early,
two decks were great to play the first few weeks, and then everybody was drafting them and you
couldn't
put them together.
Because the other archetypes didn't work. You know, you really could play like black white value.
Come on.
And that's about it. And then I think it really struggled for coherence. And when they put a lot of effort into, you know, archetypes, and certainly the original Innistrad was, you know, just overwhelmed with beautiful archetypes that you didn't even have to play. This one felt much worse by the end.
It felt like there were only two solid archetypes and everything else was just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. By the end of the format, I think one of those two would not be red-green kind of aggro, and that ended up being pretty good because of the other, what everyone else was doing. I felt like near the end, you're like, wow, this red-green aggro is getting value.
Yeah, Brazen Wolves into, like, removal was very powerful.
Yeah, Blood Mist, of course, is the greatest too, but, like, well, a lot of these green and red that aren't the best red are still around because the best red was getting gobbled up by everyone. But I don't know, I feel like there were some late events going on in the format where I was liking some of the decks. After a ton of blue-green, red-blue spells.
Pretty much all the werewolves were playable. Like, there was a spectrum of which ones were better than others, but there were none of them you would look at and go, I can't put this in my deck.
Well, having been crushed so many fucking times by turn to,
Uvenwald Captain.
No,
Captive.
Lamholt
Pacifist.
Yeah, that card's
The new, you were right about this. The new werewolf mechanic is terrific. I really like it. It makes for much better gameplay.
I didn't have a two drop and now I'm dead.
It
means so many games.
One of a card I played today was Crippling, the Tanglewood Werewolf, the 2/4 is a confine, whatever. But when you can flip it and give it trample, you're so far ahead because
they're
attacking every turn and they have to block. It was like, that is game over, there. But 4/6 must be blocked. They're never going to get something up big enough at that rate. So that was during a red-green werewolves deck that I was just like, good.
Yeah, I thought it was fun, and despite being, I often found myself being really disgusted by how the draft finished, and then still enjoying the games a lot. Like, it wasn't in no way was this a bad format. I think they really missed a great opportunity to have it be a great format. Like, if they just kept clues the whole time.
What a beautiful
Morrow said that was a mistake.
That? Yeah, yeah, what was yeah. That?
Oh, I didn't read that. Was that on his blog?
Someone linked it and I read it.
Yeah.
It was amazing how bad some cards got, the clue cards. It reminded me of the Tide Caller from the Zendikar. Wow, that used to be like almost a pick one.
That's
and now
a good throwback.
So bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, did anyone draft 3 Eldric? I wonder if that would ever, I didn't actually ever do it. I always said, I wish it was an Eldric pack. I was wondering if that would be any better.
I thought I did that at least
because of the Shadows comments
I've never
you
done
made.
It.
And I was God damn it, I don't need the Fevered Visions here.
That would have been better. Well, I think it would have ultimately played better. Because
they
were really good
triple
decks.
Moon.
You could have some really good decks. I think
would have been better than, Moon Shadow, definitely. Because you're right, the Shadow pack was irrelevant.
How about starting with Shadows of that have even made it better?
No.
Yeah, I think that would have made it much worse.
It's the fact that...
It just doesn't fit.
Well, the Shadows is...
It's, power level was much lower, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And because it was so elegantly built on archetypes that the cards played well together. And then when you suddenly have one pack of a bunch of cards that have no value unless you're deep into an archetype, like it made it really difficult.
Like nearly every card in Shadows just became a D or a C level card in your deck.
And if you got the A's, you were so far ahead. If you were like, I'm in red.
It was like extra.
A lava axe and a fiery, sweet.
Right. Yeah. Like the one red drafter and you unload all that stuff.
Yeah. Which is pretty unlikely by the end of it.
Oh yeah. The madness was gone too.
Yeah. Which also sucked. That's the thing. I wanted to play with clues and I wanted to play with madness more. I really enjoyed them.
Some of those blue green clues decks were
so cool.
They were insane.
They're definitely not losing this game. Like red in their shadows block
only.
A
card that didn't see enough time at the, how good it was.
Yeah.
Ongoing.
Ongoing was legitimately busted. Okay. Yeah.
Ongoing and
But it does. I remember the first time I saw it too. I was like, but it doesn't draw you the card automatically. What? That's so bullshit. And I'm like, no, actually, it's fucked up.
Yeah, and 2/4 ends up
still really good.
And it gains you infinite life, and you literally can't die. Okay, cool.
2/4 seems is just good. I think we should. That's one of the things when we get into Kaladesh, I think the key though will be what do we expect out of that limited format?
So I think that's time for a segue.
Yeah.
Our draft segue.
Let's stop grappling with the past.
Oh!
Boom. Okay.
I love the artwork synergy with grappling with the past with the original Innistrad with the little girl peeking
down
the well.
Did you ever notice that? Well?
I played Make-A-Wish in the standard.
Yeah,
so.
That was wrong.
Yeah, it was. So was Charmbreakers as a deck, but I was young.
Well, younger.
How do we want to approach this?
Younger.
How about starting with the art, which I love the art aesthetic of this entire set. I really do.
I think it's really confused. I think that they really, really missed it. I have very little sense of... I just they went all in too many directions, and I think they ended up with I mean, a lot of the art's really cool. It just doesn't all feel like it comes from the same set.
I think on top of that, so I don't know if you guys saw the little promo video that they did before. So it was in PAX. They did like the 35-second, maybe a minute clip, or like, come one, come
on. Yeah,
all.
Yeah,
like,
I saw that.
So that, like, just in my head, I was like, wow, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. My wife asked me today about, you know, what's the theme of the set, and I was like, oh, it's just like World Fair kind of thing, Adventures Fair. So that, all that art, I love all that, just in my head, that feels right. But you start looking at some of these cards, and I do agree that you're like, okay, but what is this, like,
there's a bird out in the wild.
Card, this, like, just even this top, and look at the mythic card, like, they don't really fit. The art is pretty, probably, but it could have been in any other set.
Goat in the field.
Yeah, so those ones that make me feel like I'm at that fair, I think, are the coolest.
I agree. Yeah. A random Leviathan, because there has to be a Leviathan.
Yeah, there's a lot of these.
Like, what?
Oh, there's a random dragon in here somewhere, isn't there?
There is.
Demon of Dark Schemes? I mean, that is generic.com.
Well, he's the guy, like, yeah, he's outside the fair. He's about to wipe everyone out.
If we're talking about art, though, I want to segue to... Within that are these story pieces, and when I read the flavor text on the confiscation coup, I thought that was cool as hell.
I haven't read
so Tezzeret says,
oh, I'm so pumped for Tezzeret.
I'm very pumped for Tezzeret.
Citizens, do not resist. This is for your safety. Tezzeret bids you surrender your inventions immediately.
Oh.
That's cool as hell. He's a big baddie.
Yep.
And they show the, like, citizens being like, take, like, hands being grabbed by, like, this big, like, mech warrior of just kind of like, badness.
Yep.
I just thought that's cool.
Wait,
that's
a
like the story point thing. But
Tezzeret's a villain.
He got corrupted by Nicol
Bolas.
What
do you mean?
He
was
a villain before.
I love Tezzeret.
He's literally an agent of Bolas.
Well, he was.
Yeah.
He was an agent
of
Bolas.
Very good.
Yeah. Super limited killer.
Yeah.
But yeah, that brings us to the art/story thing, which is usually not my game, but the story pieces is kind of cool.
Dan, would you like to give 4 seconds on the story? Do you know anything about it?
Actually, I do know a little bit about it. Chandra and Liliana go hang out at Kaladesh for a while. And Chandra runs across her mom, and I think her mom gets arrested. And Chandra's dealing with all these, like, old feelings coming back up because really terrible things happened to her. And Liliana just came along to poke the bear a little bit and have some sport at Chandra's expense.
I know there's like a picture of a card where Nyssa and Chandra.
Oh yeah, Nyssa went with
them
too.
They're in the glass. They're like, "Help us!" They're saying
that. I didn't see that.
They said something in the lore of like them having a little crush. I think that I don't know which way it is, but I think it's Nyssa makes Chandra go all a flutter kind of deal.
Oh. Yeah.
I think that there's a
all a flame.
Yeah, I think she can't hold it in kind of thing.
All right.
Maybe someone's trolling me. I don't know. But.
Was it an empty
seeing what they need to see?
Was it one of the comments from
No, it wasn't. Oh. It wasn't like this card is number 34.
Was it that guy from TembleCon who dressed as Sorin?
No, I didn't see that. I kind
of
wish I did.
Wait, what? I didn't see the Sorin.
No, the guy who is like, hey, I smell blood. That guy, the fucking weirdo at TembleCon. That was like 2 years ago.
That's real.
Yeah,
yeah. That's real exactly.
What about this year?
I got a little knife in my arm.
Yeah.
I got a little blade.
It was messed up.
Oof, okay. So art, I think we're a little bit divided, but that's where
I love the overall aesthetic. Maybe not every card hits the mark, but
some of it's cool, some of it's whatever.
One of them actually, and it's just a shitty draft card.
There's a lot of people holding stuff out to other people. Like a ton of it. Like, here you go, try these Banes.
Well, I found myself kind of. Oh wait, no, that's it.
Where's the one? Wait a minute, where's the one?
So
I what?
I was gonna say, I feel like my primary concern needs a description about what makes Kaladesh seem very interesting, which is of course vehicles.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
We can talk about vehicles.
Go ahead. There's just one art that I gotta call out.
Which one?
Console Shield Guard. I just noticed this. You take a look at the picture, the guy holding like the hammer.
What
right?
color is that?
Out?
What color is that?
For Harambe?
What the hell is that guy's name? That couldn't look more than like Michael Pena from End of Life.
Oh my god, you're so right.
Any more like him. I mean,
oh, that's wicked funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as if it's... Does he play Magic? Because it seems like it's like...
That's wicked funny.
I liked him in Crash.
I said that to Chris and he goes, oh my god, that's the exact pose. Unbelievable. So sorry, I had to.
Pena's Shield Guard. Done and done.
That looks just like him.
I feel a little weird about this new era where 4 men of 3-4s are like pretty normal and like not at all impressive. Cause that's supposed to be a very good rate, like for limited. It seems to be like one of the new go-to bodies. But yeah, vehicles.
Vehicles.
You want to give a little explanation there, Dan?
What is it?
Okay, so they're an artifact.
Yeah. it's an artifact with a power and toughness that you can turn into a creature by tapping a certain number of creatures with power equal to its crew value. So,
is it a creature itself, Dan?
No.
Oh!
Not until you make it a creature.
We're right. Teaching the people at home what they already know.
It is just a hunk of metal sitting on the road.
They already know.
Yeah, evaluating these things is going to be interesting, I think. I think the best analog I can think of is, like, equipment. I feel like they fall into
a... different. This is the thing that worries
Not entirely me. Different,
no,
but
not entirely
similar.
Different. This is what I was going to say. So, I don't know what the actual numbers are, but so far the removal in this set is pretty bad. And it has to be. Because, there's one more white thing there. So like if the removal was really excellent, like sort of like inexpensive to medium expensive and happened when you wanted it, like I think we all generally enjoy, it would make vehicles a massive, cost to, of doing business. And I think that they do represent pretty good rates. Like in general, you're like, oh, I can upgrade my shitty creature that can't attack or 3 tiny creatures that can't attack and rumble in there with something big that can. So there's some interplay there. But
the power and toughness for the mana cost on a lot of the vehicles is way off the scale for what it would be.
Yeah, it would have to be.
I think most creatures are mostly small.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And accordingly, if there was a ton of really great efficient removal, you would be stranding people's cards sort of left and right. So I guess in that sense, maybe it is more like that. Some of the costs on them seem so much more than most equipments that you're gonna be sort of priced into playing some of them. And then if somebody was like, Doomblade, you're like, oh fuck me. Like I literally can't do anything. But I thought that was interesting.
I've tapped all my teams so I can't block next turn. And
blocking
is gonna
be really weird in this format.
Well, but two things, that goes down the rabbit hole. But do you think that ability of the removal makes it a little better, the slowness, that makes these cards a safe mechanic for Eternal, not likely to ever be broken? Like, it's just going to sit here and just because the fact that you get, like, is this just for Kaladesh and it's not one of those, like, oops, and we're going to see
oops,
all
GTA, yeah. One of those types of things.
I would be so shocked.
If one of these
I don't think any of them are on that kind of power scale.
Because there's only one that has, even has an ability, which is
flagship.
The flagship. Like, the rest of them don't do anything.
I think the copter might be Eternal playable.
Yeah, people were saying the copter. Is this not Lupine Prototypes, like, dream scenario?
That card actually spiked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a two mana, but it's a 5 toughness, so it's going to pretty much crew anything.
Well, should we start talking about some of the cards?
Yeah.
But he wanted to say the combat thing. I think that what we should talk about mechanics, though, is, like, it's blinking all over the set. It's
yes, everywhere.
Like,
yeah.
Well,
how's that going to make the limited? That was my biggest concern when I'm, like, lingering
questions. Some of the combat decisions may be not dissimilar to... Outlast in Abzan in Khans of Tarkir, because that was done only at sorcery speed, so you either had to tap your creature to put a +1 counter on it, or you could leave it up to attack and block.
Right.
So I think it covers a little similar territory there as well. Want to use these individuals.
Yeah.
There's a lot of instant...
So Smuggler's Copter is 2 mana for a 3/3 vehicle with flying. Whenever it attacks or blocks, you draw a card, and you loot. So if you draw it, you discard it, and it crews for 1. That's a lot of power. Like, crew 1 is really easy.
An early evasion for a card.
So, first finance tip, no rare in this set will break $10 the entire time they are in standard. Power level's very low, and I think this is, like, not close, the best rare.
Yeah.
I don't think
safe,
it's a $10 card.
I think safe's a good word that Cody just used. A lot of these cards are safe. Like, a lot of these cards, there's no risk of them being broken. Perhaps they were wary about the new flip.
I think people just think they're safe because we don't know how to evaluate them.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem.
So you think the Smuggler's Copter might see modern or...
If any of them will,
probably
it's
modern
that one.
Play.
Yeah.
It's so cheap. It's so ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
It doesn't go into Affinity, does it?
It passes all the tests. So that's where maybe it would go.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Because it gets turned on by, like, every card in the deck. Like, Memnite turns it on.
Yeah.
Crew 1 is so cheap.
I mean, I would assume people are going to experiment with it in Affinity, whether or not it actually has a home.
I think it's worth a try.
It is a 2-mana 3/3.
You can always sack it to Ravager.
Flying 2-mana 3/3.
Pitches the force of
flying 2-mana 3/3 that loots.
And sometimes at Affinity, like...
Well, loots on attack,
nice,
too, which
gets
is
a nice
crazy.
Gets a nice start, but it...
Attack or block.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of card advantage.
I think this card is very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, Affinity's like, I did 2 damage that turn when it could have been 4 or something like that.
Yeah, if any card does break the $10 mark, it has to be Copter.
Yeah, it's around 5 now.
They're around 5? Okay. I'm hoping to pick them up around, like, 3.
Check it out. So any other, well, if we're going to talk about these vehicles, we kind of hinted on it. The Sky Sovereign flagship seems good.
The
3 damage.
Speculator's Wet Dream, that card.
Why did they just mash the word Sky Sovereign together? It looks so stupid.
It does look
now
really bad. Like, it looks super
like
bad.
That, I'm looking at it and
Sky Sovereign.
Just at a quick glance, that should be like a fantasy name.
Yes.
And not just a couple of words mashed together.
It looks,
like,
it looks very Norwegian.
Yeah.
Fjord Sovereign?
Yeah.
It should say, well, you
oh man, I'm
surprise.
Down. Fjord Sovereign forever.
There you go.
I like the Fjord Sovereign.
It's sliding in on a glacier.
So that is a 5-mana 6/5 vehicle with flying. Well, whenever.
It's a 5-mana removal spell that then turns into.
Whenever it enters the battlefield or attacks, it deals 3 damage to target creature or planeswalker. An opponent controls and accrues for 3.
You're all wrong. It's an Inferno Titan that turns into an Inferno Titan.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's
kind of. It
what I
kind
mean.
Of.
Yeah,
it does can't go to the face though.
It's
so that
it
matters.
It does go to the face for 6. Like, it kills them.
Well, yes, but I'm saying it's burn
it
ability.
The ability
it, no, it's
yeah.
just kills their planeswalker
that
and
have
then
that.
Kills them after.
Well, just like. All the hype is around Chandra, which we'll get to later, but like,
come here, Kalidus.
When you're playing a Planeswalker, like if you play a Gideon or something, they're just like, oh yeah, Sovereign, kill the token, or hit Gideon, next turn attack, kill Gideon. Like it's just so efficient at killing Planeswalkers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this card is busted.
And by the way, it's not a creature until they're killing you. So
also,
like a lot of removal
free.
Doesn't
it's
work.
It's 5 colorless, I mean it's gonna go in anything.
They were careful to make this card, like, the surrounding format, not hostile to it. Like, all the cards just all line up poorly against Sky Sovereign in the format. Yeah. It costs 5, doesn't get spell quellered, immune to sorcery speed removal.
It's bigger than all the other flyers.
5 toughness.
Yep, deals with all, like, toughness. The really good planeswalker in the format. Yeah. There was one more point why it was really good. Oh, like, the new counterspell doesn't hit it because that says non-artifact. There's no, like, great artifact removal yet. I think this card's going to
no,
be very
yeah,
good.
No, the artifact's like 3 or less, 4 or less.
That's what, exactly, 4
yeah,
or
yeah.
less,
white,
yeah.
Disenchant, whatever.
They wanted this card to shine. And it's crazy that this card is $4.
Yeah, that, I think.
5. Actually, almost 6 right now.
Oh, I bought him at 4.
Yeah,
I think I got mine around 5.
Like, the art's incredible.
Yeah, it's also one of the more handsome cards.
The art is
cards.
Beautiful.
Yeah. The card that, said that is the only removal is that Cuddler spell, which is I had a question about that card anyway, but that's
oh, yeah.
going to be in the sideboard. We'll see how artifact
yeah.
heavy it is.
That
but
card's
going to
get a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my question. Well, I had a question on the future value of that foil, but
I don't. I think
the foils are at like 12 right now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what foil?
For the Sky Sovereign.
Oh, I know what that
Can
blue,
you buy me one right now?
I want to know what that blue counterspell foil is going to be in the future
for Sky Sovereign. Yeah, I need a cube one.
I'm very excited to play with that.
Oh, I am super excited for that card. I think it's much better than people are saying. Also, a lot of pros aren't talking about it.
I don't think they want to be wrong about vehicle.
That's true. That's why
I think
they
went out on a limb, yeah.
That's why this card is such a great spec card. Like, if you're wrong, whatever, it's
$2. Yeah.
Like, and if you're right, it's $30.
Right.
Because people can't evaluate it. It's Batterskull all over again.
Yeah. It's mythic. I mean, exactly. You're never going to lose 80% of your investment.
I'm fond of that some of the vehicles are trains. That was nice to me. I appreciate that.
Yep. I gotta say, when someone said vehicles are in the set, though, I was like, that's
yeah, I thought they were gonna be terrible, but.
I just don't even know if I'm still.
Well, I'm just glad that it looks like it's going to be a very decision intense, like some of the removal confidence that is going away will be replaced by a lot of thinking. Like,
this is
one of those formats that I'm actually worried about because I think new players are gonna get obliterated in this limited format. Because
this is a super complex format.
Right.
I think it will be. We'll see. But
combat the blinking. The
yeah.
Release,
from everything that Rosewater said at the PAX panel, from everything that was discussed at the PAX panels, I feel like complexity is definitely something that is in this set. I think that's why Rosewater was so hyped and excited about the set, and why he said it was one of the best sets he's ever built, is the number of decisions you have to make that are really meaningful.
Right.
Built into the set.
For new players, for sure.
Like, there's just all kinds of different decision lines that you'll have. Even with, the fabricate mechanic.
Which I love.
Yeah.
I do
like fabricate.
Did we want a nice, complex set after, Collected Company? Here you go, noob. You can win, but now you're screwed.
Yeah, this has actually been one of the more difficult standard formats ever that I remember.
And then now we're going to, on top of it, be a complex limited.
Yeah.
Can we just point out that, you know, people complain about power creep all the time, which is legit. Snarefopter in this format?
Yeah,
four mana artifact, 3/2, flying haste.
No, you're right. Four mana heart attack. That's what
four mana heart attack. I just can't, like, I stared at this card for a good 3 minutes trying to figure out if I was reading it wrong, and I'm like, so it's a haste moon heron for everyone. Like, that's fucked up.
It's a very, very good limited card.
And most of the thopters don't fly, so I think the skies might be very powerful.
This one?
All the servos and stuff, they're all just one.
Servos don't fly. Thopters all fly.
All the thopters. He's saying all the tokens they could generate.
A lot of them
are on the ground.
Yeah.
It's a weird.
I think there's very few thopters.
Yeah. There's a lot. Not a lot in the air.
Not as many. There's more servos.
This is my favorite card in the set.
Filigree Familiar? Yeah. Oh. That's just the best.
Oh. Chris was just saying that.
That's going
in
the cube.
I like
right?
that.
Oh, 100%.
I just love this card. I love you, little artifact fox. This is, I feel like this is a card that defines a certain sort of player.
So, 3 mana, 2/2 artifact creature, fox. When it enters the battlefield, you gain 2 life, and when it dies, you draw a card.
Hey, we just did that emerge thing. Here's a fox.
Yeah.
I was just paying 3 for a 3/1 witch.
So on turn 4, when I jam my fucking, my 3/4 flyer, I'll have gained 2 life and drawn 2 cards. That's pretty good. Yeah. Turn 4, 3/4 flyer that draws you 2.
Like, this card is.
And you get
perfect.
To play with a cute
it
little
is
Baroque
so
box.
Perfect.
Yeah. I love that card.
Cool
I think
card.
It's wonderful.
A lot of buzz on the Courier and the Scrounger. They're right near each other in the spoiler.
Well, let's go through the list.
Okay.
How about we do that?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you want to start?
I love the art on
Fleetwell.
Do you want to
look at your list?
That's
do we want to look at the actual cards? What are we thinking?
Well, I have them, like, in
he
order.
Here's the list. I have the card image gallery at Gatherer pulled up, so it's in Gatherer order.
So, usually when sets come out, I generally, you know, somehow you just get that feel. You're like, this card's going to win a Pro Tour. Sky Sovereign for me. In the past, it was Voice of Resurgence and Thassa. I just think Sky Sovereign's that card. Mm. But, so we've talked about
totally
that one.
On board.
We'll go right into Planeswalkers.
We're going right into Planeswalkers.
The big one. Chandra.
Do it.
Yeah.
Torch of Defiance. Who gonna read it?
I'll read it.
There's a lot of text.
Cause I like it a lot. Chandra, Torch of Defiance. 2/2 red for 4 loyalty. +1, I can't read it because it's too small. Moving on. +1, exile the top card of your library. You may cast that card. If you don't, Chandra, Torch of Defiance, deals 2 damage to each opponent. +1, add red to your mana pool. -3, Chandra, Torch of Defiance, deals 4 damage to target creature. -7, you get an emblem with, whenever you cast a spell, this emblem deals 5 damage to target creature or player.
The first 5 ability Planeswalker.
What's the 5th ability?
You have a choice of casting a spell or just having a shock.
Oh, I suppose that's true.
It is
a card like the card that puts it on the top.
Not
the abbot.
Not
you
the
lose
first
it.
5 ability.
Yeah, it is.
5 on one side.
5 on one side.
Yeah, 5 on one side.
Just quiet, Dan. I got you, McKenna.
Cody Banks with the heat.
I got you, Quinn. I got you. That's so good, right? Like,
we
there's
need
no
to be
way.
Precise with our language here.
She had to be good. It's her plane. Real good.
I want to remind people of Venser the Sojourner, and its $70 presale tag.
Yeah.
I would like to remind people.
That was a full-time vintage playable all-star. Oh, wait, no. That never,
oh,
that
wait,
happened.
It didn't
None
see any
play. Yeah, no.
Like zero.
There was no. That's not true. There was a 2-week period in Delver that it did see play.
Oh, good. Oh, goody. So there are 2 big differences between the 2 cards. That was 2 colors. This is not. That's the biggest difference. And I think this card has abilities. That's the other difference.
Yeah.
But I still urge people not to buy any card presale for $60 because boxes can only be worth so much.
Yep.
And no matter what, the price average of a box will always equate to around $100. And with the – I thought this before they released the – not expeditions, whatever they're calling them.
Masterpieces.
Which
masterpieces.
We probably should have talked about.
We'll get into it later. That's gotta be the end.
You know what? Yeah. When we get to the Gear Hulks, we'll talk about them because they're part of the cycle.
Oh, sure. Go.
So.
I got some feels.
Holy shit, this is like flowing.
I said there's a lot of crap.
This is where I should just panic and start making noises.
I'm getting tired. I'm getting tired. I'm getting nervous.
Oh, my.
Come on, it's good. Don't try to tell me.
Things are getting weird.
I think this card is going to disappoint a ton of people.
So many people.
I think it's a totally solid card.
It is the.
You saying it's not a four of? Like, what do you mean disappoint? It's
no,
a
I do.
Two of instead of four?
But I do think.
Okay, four of and what, though?
It's gonna probably two decks.
It's the pinnacle
red, black money. Count.
It's the pinnacle red toolbox card.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it.
But exactly, like red never wants.
But you don't want a toolbox card.
Toolbox card.
This is like the greatest. This is like the greatest fucking cube card of all time.
Oh, it's unreal, perfect.
Yeah.
Every cube should have
but
this card.
Plus one, it casts that 3 damage exile sorcery. I mean, that's
so
pretty sweet.
Let's start. This card is good.
Yeah, no.
But
no,
I'm trying to bring it back down to earth. That's all I'm trying to do.
I think
that
after that got spoiled, people had to be pulled out from the ceiling.
Yeah, this card is not Jace the Mind Sculptor.
This is the conversation that we had also. Most red decks in history, if given a choice as a 4-mana curve topper for the purpose of what Dread generally was to do, this card is exponentially worse than Koth.
Yes, 100%.
Like, much worse than Koth and what Red is generally doing, which means all of these abilities need to work, factor in really well into what you're doing. And so for the most part, it suffers because it's not particularly linear. Mm. And because it's not linear, 4-mana is a lot.
Yeah,
that is what the question is. What deck does this go in? Is it a deck that breaks that red rule with other powerful crap? And look, there's some really powerful stuff in Eldritch Moon, as you saw by the last standard.
Oh, yeah.
So the question is,
this card...
Your cousin's red, this might be nuts.
I know you and me have already talked about this. I think this card is just like the greatest compliment to Amrakul you could ever hope for.
Oh, yeah. That's...
It's mana in the graveyard as a playable planeswalker in the deck. It's mana in play.
Yeah.
And it's card advantage for the ramp decks.
Playing the 6-mana one in the deck was really good.
Yeah. No, this, I think.
With the notable difference that the 6-mana Chandra wins the game instantly if left alone. So that it always it was a secondary win condition. This really isn't.
Yeah.
So there's a balance. But I think it promotes the game plan much more.
Yeah, it fills every hole the ramp deck wants. So it functions as removal, ramp, and card advantage, which is huge.
Worldbreaker.
The card's also just good. Like it's never gonna be terrible. Well, I just think it's a $20 planeswalker and not a $60 planeswalker.
Yeah. And it's gonna break some hearts because people are gonna be
a ton of hearts.
Somebody's already spent $300 for their set.
Yeah.
And they're not gonna be able to play four of successfully in any deck.
But who is that these days? We say this every single set that comes out, the Chase card.
And people keep doing it.
Is $60 every time. And sometimes it holds at 45. But it never holds 6. So I don't know if they're actually selling that many at that price, or they're just kind of just like, it's sold out, $60.
I think it's the
sold very few.
It is not the playsets, it's the one-ofs. Yeah. I think a lot of people buy one of a card.
Yeah.
And it's like,
maybe.
The introduction of EDH has, like, multiplied that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, a lot of casual players see the card and they're just like, really cool, I want to own that card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, who's buying it for 60, right? Like, the new Lily has held price pretty good, but again, 70.
How much money can you make on this card at $60?
Zero.
Like, yeah, literal zero.
100, and it was like busted in two formats.
Because hype also drove that card exponentially high. A card that starts low has a much higher ceiling than a card that starts high.
It's more price elastic, and certainly the upside.
Exactly.
For you one of buyers who are like, I'd really like to own Chandra Torch of Defiance, I love this card, there's 0% chance that if you miss it at 60, it's going to cost you 80. It will never happen.
And that's the thing.
That's why.
And even if it does, like, at that price point, it's like, whatever. You now know the card is an $80 card. And you've lost
$20
to know that this is a guaranteed thing.
I don't know who's buying at 60. I just don't even know if it's even real.
It's just because there are people, I think there are people who genuinely.
People went all in at 40. Like, I know that for a fact. Like, people were like nuts over this card.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to, like, I'd be comfortable pre-releasing it. You're not pre-releasing. You're not buying this card to make any money on it at any pre-release price.
Yeah,
no.
Are you going to play it?
That's not what pre-release prices are. People that are so incredibly impatient and have the disposable income that not worry about it.
We hope. Make money. There's also people that go to the store after a card spikes on a Pro Tour and get annoyed that the store didn't ship you because they didn't do the updated inventory at 4 a.m. because the card now spiked to $20. Like, they have no duty to send that thing to you for $4 because you're on the storefront at 4 a.m. and you gotta get mad they don't sell it. Like, I just feel like there are people that are trying to make money on speculation on pre-release.
Cody knows about those people because he's there, but he's not there for that reason.
No, I'll watch it. McKenna knows.
I do not trade at pre-releases.
I don't like that. But either way, there's no money to be made. But I think people are trying to make some money on some.
Yeah, the money to be made is in cards like Smuggler Copter. $2-$3. When they're like $2.
Right.
Like, yeah. Or Sky Sovereign, which is...
This is what you're saying. I got my card quick.
I actually think we maybe have never mentioned this phrase before. Making money in Magic is not about windmill slams. It's about grinding. You make money in small increments over a long period of time. Like, I feel like your career has been made off of $3 cards that went for $10, not $40 cards.
No,
that went for
mine has been just buying foils of every modern playable card when it's in standard. Like, that's how I've made the majority of my money.
But most finance people would definitely agree with that. I mean, Chaz, for example, shout out is obviously great. Always says, I throw it in the bin because I know, you know, it's a 2-3 year stack, but those are on the $2-$3
A lot of times Magic Finance is knowing just not to sell a card.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to, like, go nuts, buy all of them, just don't sell the Monastery Swiss Spears you own. Like, it's free money.
We'll get Jason Inquisition. $50 in the
That was a good day for me.
What are Goblin Guides now? $30?
I think it's got to be more. I think 40 now.
Yeah.
Noble Hierarchs went nuts.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well,
the Judge ones are like
every
150
deck.
Now or something. Yay, I did
wow.
it.
Wow.
It just looks like it plays fun, though, too.
But to this, I think this card is terrific. It looks super fun. It is very powerful. People at home, it isn't the card you think it is, and that's the scary bit.
I'm also skeptical about it in Modern. I don't know.
I don't think it does enough. Right away. I think Modern is too furious.
Someone's gonna show me the deck. Like, before I
need to show
it, I go in.
A few times before I go in on Modern.
Guides are around 30 right now, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. You know what it is? It's like Nahiri tricked me because I didn't grasp how much she could win the game.
How unplayable it still is in Modern. Yeah.
Has that tipped
over? It's
completely
unplayable.
Wow, that happened quick.
Yeah, no, it was never playable.
And that deck like spiked her price for a while.
It's because good players won with it because they wanted to play blue, I read. It wasn't actually a good
deck. Fair enough.
Yeah, it's in the color.
But for that sort of flawed 4 mana, at least it automatically won the game when you got it to do its thing, and so it had a very direct path to victory. This doesn't do that. You'll never get to 7. It's just
in this
never
card,
going
like
to
people want to play it in blue, I read, then it's directly competing with Nahiri.
Right.
Which I think the deck wants to do, but it isn't actually good.
Right.
It's an easier casting, right?
And yeah, and much of that too. So it's going to be, I don't think it's a modern card.
People can play Infect in Modern. Patrick Sullivan made that very clear. That was so fucking funny. When the guy won with Infect, he's like, yeah, no, I want you guys to know that you can show up with Infect. Like, I just want you guys to know you can play Infect in this format. Like, it's okay. You can sleeve up Blighted Agent.
Yeah, how many of those modern turns were like, why is there not enough Infect in the best deck? But
I've been saying Infect was the best deck for a while, and people are like, no, I don't think so. It's skillless.
But Lightning Bolt.
Well, skillless does not make it the best deck.
It's skillless. It has one of the highest skill caps in the format.
Yeah. Well, no, I realize that. But,
I do think that there have been times when there was such a withering load of lightning bolts that Infect didn't make as much sense.
I really want a magic card called Withering Load.
I want to see the art.
Yeah, it's just Way to the Underworld again.
No, it's Serum Visions.
Ow, my eye.
Ow!
Ouch.
Yeah. No, but my point is saying that I think Infect is the best deck in the format, and someone going, no, it's skillless. It's not a reply to it.
It's
the best deck in the format. Like, yeah, that doesn't... That,
and also, it's not doesn't one does not preclude the other.
You yeah, skill level has nothing to do with the power level of the deck.
I've talked about skill cap, skill floor, right? Yeah, I'm sure.
Probably.
Yeah. You go back and listen to that episode.
Talk about shitty art. Chandra's Pyrohelix. I mean... It's sitting right next to Torture Defiance.
We can keep talking about cards like this for a long time because 90% of the cards in the format are completely unplayable in bulk. The rares.
Yeah.
We'll get to that, but holy shit. I can't wait to open a Dubious Challenge.
You don't see Territorial Gouger, a 4-mana 2/2 in case that big energy deck makes it in Modern.
Can't wait to open that one.
If you're saying in Modern, and even, standard, there's certainly some clunkiness to a lot of these things.
What's next on your list?
Maybe build around.
I'll go with... We'll go with Nissa, Vital Force. I almost said Voice of Zendikar because I'm so used to saying that. I put no idea with no price amount. Oh, for Chandra, I said $20 to $25 card with chance of spiking back to 40 and staying there if it is a
never
great staple.
Go one, well, does anything ever go 120, but I don't think it ever goes 100. It never 100. Never 99.99.
No.
Lily didn't do it, so.
No.
Yeah, it's not 99.
No. Nissa, Vital Force, 3 GG. Planeswalker Nissa, 5 loyalty, plus 1 untapped target land you control. Until your next turn, it becomes a 5-5 elemental creature with haste. It's still a land. Minus 3, return target permanent from your graveyard to your hand. Minus 6, you get an emblem with whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you may draw a card.
I love how you can ultimate the turn after she comes out. That's
sweet. You better hope.
Or the turn she comes into play with Oath of Gideon.
With Oath of Gideon, which is spiked.
Yep, that's really bad.
But two cards so that you can draw lands later? What's your problem?
Yeah, I think the losing of your Planeswalker kind of hurts.
I'm pretty sure that on the third turn, it will be as though you've invested 8 mana to draw 3 over the course of 5 turns. Anyway.
So, Greencoth.
Green. This is so much worse than Greencoth.
Like, just go with it.
I do not like this card.
I think it might bash some people's faces in.
Yeah.
It's also Commander's gonna play this, right?
Oh God! Yeah,
I'm sure.
So it's gonna help.
This
that
does
buoy
everything
that,
for
it's
Commander.
It's gonna buoy that price. Yeah, yeah. Is exactly. What Commander wants to do more cards. Well,
there are very few Planeswalkers that don't make it into a Commander deck somewhere.
Sure, but I think this one.
Oh wait, guys! No, I figured out it's actually really terrible. Ryan, any person offers, hi there, I'm Splendid Reclamation.
Hi there!
You may or may not remember me. I didn't make a bunch of a splash when I hit the MTG scene a few months ago. I was called unplayable by most.
Actually,
even
most
my
people
greatest
thought that
proponents
card was like secretly broken, but whatever.
Yeah, admitted I was gimmickly at best. Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know about the hottest new cinematic sensation coming to a theater near you. It's called Payback, Be Many Stars. Starring yours truly. See you then, Toodles. So this card's terrible.
How about the smirk that guy had when he was probably banging that keyboard?
Yeah. Oh, man. And his hand. Anyway. I don't.
Perfect.
I don't know if that's worth it, Ryan. If only my favorite part being that you still have to.
Dipshit wrote, wait, two Nissa's question mark?
I didn't understand.
You've become one of them. I'm confused and lost on this internet forum.
So it says it's 25 right now.
Yeah, no.
Again, right? Like
Cullen, any person thinks it's great.
Wow, it's only 25.
Ian, any person thinks it's strong. This card is really bad.
Yeah, this card is real bad.
Vastwood Seer was insane. I think that card's actually quite insane, and that never, I don't think, hit 25.
Remember when I kept telling people not to buy Tameos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sold my Tameo.
You did!
Yeah, and then I opened a second one.
Whee!
That has had some online up and downs, but that's either hit or
not. This card is too expensive. It doesn't do enough. If you're playing green aggro.
You know what? Here's how I'm going to put it. I'm never going to touch this card. Go ahead and beat me with it if you can.
Yeah,
like,
that's
totally
to
fine.
Yeah.
Like,
I got you.
Yeah. More power to you.
Yeah, man.
I like that plus one. I just don't care about it much the rest of it. I don't know.
Plus one's pretty sweet. She protects herself.
I just love that.
Yeah.
So boring.
You're putting a land at risk from a removal spell.
Like, I feel like I might just avoid that on the board and try to beat them out like, elsewhere.
So, let's talk about.
So, what who's your price? What'd you say on that one?
I really have no idea. I had $10.
I think you're going to bad if you spend $25 on that. You're going to feel like super bad.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Vastwood Seer never got that high.
This is like,
way better.
For whatever reason, like the most Jace memory adept card I've ever seen in my life. I don't know why. It just feels like the exact same card.
You
want
to know
it's because
it's expensive. It's hard to kill. And while the abilities are powerful, they're not interesting and they don't appear to be part of anything.
Yeah.
They're just doesn't.
Just play those guys. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I love me a regrowth. And it's a powerful ability.
She seemed like a completely busted board card against blue decks.
Yeah.
That's cool. But so does every Planeswalker. Like,
right.
At this point.
Oh, look, I got it on the table. You're fucked.
Yeah, a cast Planeswalker with a ton of loyalty.
Speaking of blue decks, we've got two different sorts, two different Planeswalker for two different sorts. How did you feel about the most boring Planeswalker of all time, Dovin Ran?
Oh, I love this card.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about the cheap versions of the Nissa and the Chandra and just throw them in the garbage.
Yeah,
they're not part of Kaladesh.
So there are cheap versions of them and we're throwing them in the garbage. Anyway,
yeah.
We did
on.
It! Okay, yeah. We talked about them.
Dovin Bomb.
Dovin Bomb.
So my dream is to go Wall of Omens, which hasn't been printed yet. into filigree familiar into Dovin Bond in standard. They just have to give me Wall of Omens, like I've been saying for every set in the past 7 years.
Play it in modern. Get in there.
I think this card's really good.
It's super good.
Yeah, it's kind of like Kiora, Master of Waves, except I want to play it.
Yeah. Well, it's
like Dovin Bond.
Dovin Bond.
I mean, it's designed to protect itself. It draws a bunch of cards.
Yeah, six life and
it's,
three.
I mean, it's little Jace too. Like you cannot leave it alone.
Two life on a card, the card draw ability is actually really powerful.
Yeah.
Plus the damage you didn't take because the Dovin got hit.
Exactly.
So it's like nine plus life.
This card is just so good against aggro, and it's good in control mirrors. It draws cards, but it's just average. Like if this card sees play, it sees play in one deck.
Yep, and it'll be a two of.
I think this card's a four of.
Do you?
I think if blue-white control is playable, this is like the reason to play blue-white.
Okay.
So what's it going to look like, a spirits deck with a Dovin?
No, I'm saying like blue-white control.
Yeah, because I don't think you could.
With the new counter spell, it doesn't do anything. Is that what it's called?
If you're trying to beat them down.
Yeah. I don't know if there's enough good.
So this card has a chance at being $12.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
What is that pre-sailing at now?
20.
Dovin?
Yeah, $20.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely out at $20 on a two-color planeswalker. Two-color planeswalker I'm in on, though. Shaheeli Rai.
Shaheeli Rai.
I just have Rai, too much in my heart wants to play red-blue, so I can't even, shouldn't feel like I shouldn't say anything. Like, three mana red-blue, I'm always in.
Yeah, it's a three mana planeswalker with abilities that seem relevant. Like, at its worst, it's going to be a $12 card, in my opinion.
In my favorite color.
Yeah.
I think the art's really cool.
I like it.
Oh, the art is
I love
gorgeous.
The whole card.
Yeah, it's the one that matches the theme of the art of the set that we talked about.
Yeah. Like. Shaheeli Rai.
What happened to Gronsky?
One, blue, red.
He said he was
coming
after.
Oh, okay.
okay. Plus one, scry one. Shaheeli Rai deals one damage to each opponent. That's really cool. She also eats other planeswalkers over time.
Scry is very powerful.
Scry is powerful. Yes. Minus two. Create a token that's a copy of target artifact or creature you control, except it's an artifact in addition to its other types. That token gains haste. Exile at the beginning of the next end step. Minus seven. Search your library for up to three artifact cards with different names. Put them onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library.
The dream. Some three-card artifact combo.
We didn't even bother playing No extra incentive to put an artifact in.
So, the reason I'm excited about this card is it's minus two. Because I hope that... I just want to do this in standard. I hope this deck is good enough where I go, turn one, turn two, I don't know, kill your creature, incendiary flow. Turn three, this, plus scry, take one. Next turn, play the Skizik artifact that comes into play as a 5/3 and turns itself on for the first turn, and then you minus two copy it and 10 them.
Oh.
Like, that's a disgusting curve, yeah.
The vehicle turns itself on?
Yeah. There's a 4/3 like trample haste.
Yeah, the first time it...
Also AQ playable card.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, is that the Dragster?
Fleet Wheel Cruiser?
Yeah.
Yeah, that card is pretty powerful. Yeah, because this is like, I'm basically just like a ball lightning that you can use.
Turn five Sky Server in good game.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, it's cool.
So can you?
Oh, and oh my god, I love the art on that too. The Fleet Wheel Cruiser.
It's absurd.
That is fucking gorgeous.
It looks like Usain Bolt's shoes. Like, it's so fast.
They're not creatures.
Yeah. So it's funny though, like how bad that card is.
Another vehicle.
The second you're not already winning.
I think it's
like,
I don't know.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with it? Well, you could not attack with it. You could leave it sitting there.
It has some similarities to, like, Reality Smasher. I think the card's good. Crew 2 is the perfect crew, by the way.
Yeah.
Especially in limited.
Can vehicles crew each other? Like, can you
yes. If you make it into a creature, you can tap it to crew another creature.
Oh, my God. So if you played Sky Sovereign, Shaheeli Rai, it dies. Legendary roll. But that is sweet.
You actually have a real Cruiser to activate your Sky Sovereign console flagship.
I actually really like most of the vehicles.
I think
like,
all
I'm
four rares will see play.
Yeah.
At least, or rare.
Oh, the Cultivator's Caravan is like the meest card I've ever encountered in
my life.
I think
that card is like unreal.
I'm a mana rock, and by the way, I'm also a 5/5. Like, that's so great.
That also can tap for mana the turn it comes in play, because it's not an actual creature.
Yeah. So good.
I don't think people have realized that yet.
Three mana give it up.
Yep.
Oh, that's the first thing. I was like, oh man, my fucking Chromantic Lanterns.
Okay, so Shaheeli Rai has a high skill floor, has a high ceiling, we'll say.
Yes.
But, I think its power level is pretty, I don't know, medium.
It's a beautiful card.
You think it could get high as in $40?
No, I don't see it having
$29.99.
I don't think it has the applications in other formats.
I think it has a chance at spiking to 25, but I see it sitting around 12.
Okay. Sort of like I feel like it's a very similar card, not in effect but style, to Ralzeric. Just does a lot of stuff in different directions, and like everything it does is like, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
but like it doesn't. It's not a card that delivers you towards a purpose, so it kind of loses out.
Sounds like you're not going to have a very high box EV after about the third week.
Well, the thing is, cards like Chandra make box EV great the first week because you buy the box. If you open Chandra, you sell it while it's high, and then you wait 2 weeks as everything else tries to balance out, and the smaller cards go up while Chandra goes down, and then you sell all that. So this is actually a good set to buy boxes,
but
which is something
like
I never say.
Out, I think it's going to be a bad, really bad box EV. You know, maybe, but if that works, it'll be okay.
Well, the thing is, like, it'll probably be fine, but you're going to have some packs where you're just, like, infinite sadness. Like, just unreal sadness.
And I think that's going to happen in Limited, too, because there are going to be some packs you open. This is going to be one of those formats, I think, where we're like, man, I really need creatures now. Like, I just, like, you're just picking
shadows
in the
body. Where do you fit the vehicles in Limited? I mean, in your mind, where are they going into your deck? Because you can't just put them in as creatures.
No, and they're interesting because, like, it kind of precludes there being a really strong control deck because you got to have a lot of bodies to make all this stuff function, and like I think there's enough real estate taken up by these that it's going to be kind of difficult to pull off.
I think you still prioritize 2-3 drops, and now your vehicles are fine.
Oh no, I'm just saying that. Yeah, that's totally cool. I just think it's going to change. I think these are going to really change what the format looks like because of their particular requirements, both to use and then to attack.
And there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, how many at common? Three at common, and then four uncommon, four rare. Yeah. Or no, three rare, one mythic.
Well, we can talk all about those on our next episode when we recap the limited format.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. They're definitely a big TBD. I think everyone is trying to figure out what that's going to be.
Yeah.
Yep.
So as we go into the Gear Hulk cycle, that brings with us I keep forgetting the fucking names. Masterpiece. Someone explain that while I go get rid of all these Hot Pockets.
Dan?
The Masterpiece, the MTG... MTG? Masterpiece series. Here we go. I gotta pull it up on my computer so I can look at it. So, basically they decided that, the Expedition lands in Zendikar were a fantastic idea and it sold them a shitload of boxes. And so now they're doing it in every single set.
Yeah.
There's going to be, in this case, the Kaladesh Invention. So, it's a special cycle of cards. There's going to be a total of 50 between Kaladesh and the next set. There's, I think, 30 in Kaladesh, 20 in the next set. They will all be foil. They will all be themed to the set visually, and they will pick cards that fit the theme. So that's why all the Kaladesh ones are inventions. They're all
right.
Artifacts.
Because of the bazaar.
Which is why that was so cool when that came out. Like, all the
they
made this happen.
In my opinion, I know there's some disagreement on this, are stunningly gorgeous.
I like most of them. I know McKenna's not into it, but McKenna actually can't see art, so only thing he could ever register was that something had gone wrong.
I think more than I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like them.
I haven't looked at, I don't know, I don't think I've seen all of them yet, but I didn't see any of them that I straight up didn't like.
Most of them?
There's some I don't care about.
They're too involved, the artwork on all of them.
It's the border just
What do you mean too involved?
The border. There's too much shit going on in every picture.
The border takes some of the art and makes it too busy.
I completely disagree.
I totally agree.
You could have, because of the nature of the border, you could have done... Well, the ones that are very simple, like the arts that are pretty simple, are really good. Like,
Soul
Ring
looks really beautiful.
I think that's like one of the worst arts ever in Magic.
Oh, I really like it.
Oh, I hate it.
Well, then which one do you
think? I
think pretty
Cloudstone Curio is fucking gorgeous.
I think Mana Vault's cool. I don't know. That's what I think of a Mana Vault.
Oh, the big box with the Ewok? Yeah, I think Mana Vault.
Ether Vial. Ether Vial looks fine.
I don't remember Ether Vial.
The door opening was badass in the Mana Vault.
Ether Vial.
And the swords look
See, it's too involved.
Champion's
Helm. I think
that doesn't look involved to me at all.
So here's the ones I thought were cool. I thought Lightning Greaves was really cool.
Yes.
Lightning Greaves
is nice. That was awesome. How they're in the display case and everything. That's awesome. I think Lotus Petal may be one of my favorite arts ever.
Lotus Petal is very beautiful.
I love the perspective on it, like how it's just showing the petal coming off the flower. That's really cool. But like Cloudstone Curio?
I think it's stunning.
I think it's gorgeous.
it's cool concept. It just doesn't look good.
See, I think it's,
I like,
it's
just a weird.
I think it looks
egg.
Beautiful.
Hangerback,
oh, I love Hangerback.
I think Hangerback.
Okay, Hangerback's really cool.
Hangerback's. I like it a lot.
And
Hangerback looks like something out of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Like it looks like a really sort of like pulp,
oh yeah,
pulp steampunk art. Yeah. And I think
it's
cool.
Well, it's that Baroque fantasy look that
Mana Crypt is just like,
that is like one of my favorite art aesthetics is the Baroque fantasy stuff. So I'm just a sucker
just
for
twirly, that. Just twirly gold.
You know
everywhere.
What Mana Crypt looks like? It doesn't look like a magic card. I
like
what it is,
Prince
but it doesn't
Ali,
look like a magic
fabulous
card.
Fabulous Ali Ababa.
A little bit.
It kind of looks like
just kind of boring. I have to say,
feel like an old Mox, so I'm down with it.
Mox Opal is terrible.
Yeah, it's very bad.
Like that's my
point. My Mox Opal is much better than that.
It's the backgrounds that bother me for all the cards. They're just this copper.
You know what happened?
Everything.
And this is what they told the artists: you need to make everything really filigreed and complex. And then they told the person doing the board: you have to make everything really filigreed and complex.
Yeah.
And then there's not necessarily enough space separating the art from the border. That's why I think Sol Ring works, because it looks like it's sort of an extension and it's part of it. And then on something like Sculpting Steel, everything looks like garbage. Because you can't do a narrative style story picture.
Sculpting Steel is not great.
So,
it's also boring. And the swords are awful
looking. There
is something
you will never be able to unsee with the Sol Ring. And it's, there's an episode of Futurama where Zoidberg gets rid of his shell and he like scuttles around all wiggly jiggly. And if you look at the Sol Ring, it's him going whoop, 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 whoop.
I
scroll
like
rack.
Feast and Famine.
I love the idea, but the execution
there's
is very confusing.
Very
you
can't.
No.
Rings of Bride
is
kind of basic.
Feast and Famine
and fine.
Is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And
it's a hate card I've always hated the
totally
art on.
Totally agree. I think the swords are cool. I think the Feast of Famine is the most cool.
I hate
Feast
the
and Famine
swords.
Is gorgeous.
The swords look so dumb.
Oh,
the swords look. The swords look like they're in dime store sci-fi novel covers.
Again, like. Too much going on with Sword of Fire.
Yeah, where's the handle?
Well,
exactly.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
Sophie and Light and Shadow aren't great.
They're just trying to steampunk
Feast
it.
And Famine
but I like Feast and Famine.
It's okay.
Look, end of the day, we're getting now 50 in this set, lottery tickets to come in the pack. You can't, nothing
we could steal
that.
Oversee
so,
in the background as a
predictions for next
cool.
one.
We're going to pay for half a box.
Spellskite, Pithing Needle, Engineered Explosives.
Oh my god.
Vidalkin Shackles.
Very likely.
Tundra.
That's how you're gonna see him, boys.
Give me a sweet Vidalkin Shackles. Chalice of the Void? That's not in this one, right?
No.
Okay,
there's no way they print them all on set, though.
You need some mad ones, too. You need some mad. You gotta throw some in
that's
there.
The one I'm trying
you
to think. You need a Memnite. Cranial Plating, but that might
could
be one. What
Heartbound?
The fuck is it called? The 3-mana artifact, yeah. You put a charge counter on it? That's like an EDH staple. Coalition Relic. 100% has to be in there. Basalt Monolith would be gas, too. They can't do Grim Monolith.
Do they just drop the From the Vaults now?
Yes,
they're
going to
do these. 100% they have to. Yeah.
I'll lose
this
my
is
mind
from
if
the
they
Vaults.
Do Coalition Relic.
That would be awesome.
As long as it looks good.
Yeah.
By the way, Chromatic Lantern looks choice.
What?
And I love it to
death.
One
more
I want
interesting
one.
Point in all these. How sweet is it going to be to open a Sol Ring and be able to play it in your draft?
Yeah, you win. I mean,
yeah.
Wow.
Because
that's what they said, you can play.
You can play these in your draft.
I can put it into my eBay.
And that's what people are saying. They're like, well, if the guy opens Sol Ring, good for you and double good for
you. Yeah, a bunch of people are like, I really want Sol Ring. I'm like, don't worry. You'll get mine. Like, it's fine. I just want the Lotus Petals. I think they're like just
I also
stunning.
Like Crucible because I love the colors.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
It looks exactly like something that's already been done. That's why it bothers me and I can't figure out what it is.
Portal 3. Stargate.
Portal 3.
Alhermeret's Archive. It's the same art.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
it's
right.
Just
it's
like, it's just
in
closer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, no, you're right.
And black.
I also liked the art on that one.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it's divisive in
Mox
the art.
Opal's
so I mean,
really busy. Painter's Servants. Actually, it's
that
okay.
Pretty busy, though.
He's very busy. But
he's a huge
busy.
It doesn't really look like he's changing a whole bunch of colors, though.
No.
It doesn't invoke the feel of it.
Static Orb is sweet.
I think Static Orb is pretty cool.
That the Hangerback Walker was actually an aircraft carrier.
Oh, I thought that was that's Solemn Simulacrum? I thought it was Etch Champion.
No,
I love that it's Solemn. It's so angry looking, though.
Etch will be
probably
one, too.
That's
kind of
cool, yeah.
You're not going to wait long for Etched. It'll be in there, too.
Seal Overseer, I don't mind. I think that's actually cool.
Yeah.
But they're not always going to be artifacts.
And a little Hangerback.
No.
But I'm saying, I'm talking future state.
No,
which is awesome.
Yes, it will be themed to whatever the set.
I hope so.
The Gearhulks look so
what
stupid.
The old school?
The white one
no.
looks good.
Yes, they are.
That's a sweet
they're
picture.
They're all just spraying their color on them.
Yes. The rest of them look
the
terrible.
Loophole.
They're in the
I'm
no,
gonna
no.
I'm gonna hold
they can't
on
even,
me.
They can't
I
even
print
them like
in my hand, motherfucker. Oh, I'm gonna get you clean.
There's no loophole.
These are really not
There's no loophole. In the reserve list, it says they cannot be printed in anything. Not even in special sets.
They tried to do it already with judge promos. And it didn't work, so.
No, nope.
I am.
Go with this? There's gonna be, let's say 50, let's even 40 of these.
As long as.
Yeah, I don't think it can be an
every set. As long as Wizards stock ticker keeps doing this, they're not reprinting the duels.
Buffy's on fire.
Maybe think, when it starts doing this, Hasbro will get on them and say it's time to reprint the duels, but.
Here's the thing.
Nope.
Here's the thing.
Where are they gonna go?
They're gonna exactly. do what they did in this, which is they'll there. Probably flex out, and we'll see a lot of cards from the set done up in this manner. And the reality is
like
that they're
regular foils,
right?
Come on.
And then they're gonna do they're gonna print the weird shit. They're gonna take cards that we play with that aren't super hard to get, and they're gonna make them super pretty. Like that's the shit that you're gonna see. Like, and I'm.
But are people gonna get burned out of like? Are people like? It's a feel good that can feel bad.
I bought hockey cards for years just because they had foil Goldie Mask cards in them. They will not get bored.
I don't know. I just feel like then it might be starting to feel bad. Like, oh, what do you know? Like another $14, one in a thousand pack card.
You know what? You just made $14. Like, let him live with
here's
it.
The thing. Yeah. It'll never change. Cause it's always affecting different groups. Cause cause they said it when they described it. It's like, it's about pimping. We just admit that this is something people really care about. So we're gonna do it. I mean, what about the cycle where they like, it's a land set. So they just like, do like five cycles of
it's
lands.
It's also a free level of excitement to players.
Yeah.
When the lands come out, those are all gonna be pimped.
It is reserved, yeah.
I'm talking about, like, what if they just did, we're just going to do Shocklands this time. We're going to pimp Shocklands.
But then what are you going to do about Eternal Masters?
They did pimp Shocklands.
Yeah, Expeditions.
Oh, yeah.
And they were good.
But they're valuable, and those do feel fine enough when you open them.
And you know what? Like, not that I'd ever open one, because I'm the unluckiest person who's ever lived, I've seen the enjoyment of other people, and they really liked it.
I got, like, zero on Gatewatch, so they ratchet that B down.
Zero Expeditions.
That's amazing.
I've never opened. I'd open nothing.
Yeah.
I did nothing.
I haven't won.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, I don't know.
I think it's a worthy concern.
Cards in set, you got the Gear Hulks here. The Titan of the set will probably be there. But 40 or so in every single block.
I think it's too many.
A lot. Like, that's what I'm
and they may scale it back, but they may also do shit like, what if it's a Doomblade? Like, what if they, like, take cards that have always been around? Like,
I think people will start.
There may be enough like EDH stuff. I put that in quotes, so I don't want to offend anyone.
Like, imagine they fucking nailed it on. Imagine they cleaned up the foiling, right? The foil doesn't suck. They did normal foiling, which would be the most amazing thing ever.
I also want to see how they look in person. Maybe the border doesn't look as stupid.
Yeah,
to me it looks real stupid.
So but I'm like, would be excited again, to open packs if I thought I could open like a sweet disfigure for my cube, right? Like,
just
if they
imagine
just took
just
sweet
knowing
cards.
You can open a pack of cards and get a Sol Ring. Like, that's just cool.
These are all pack movers, and that's what helps that stock ticker go up, no doubt. I'm just saying, practically, it seems like a lot.
It's great for Grant, and it's great for card prices. Sorry, Dan, I didn't mean to tell you.
No.
It's great for
set
prices.
These borders are all very specific to Kaladesh. The next set will have an art motif that's entirely different.
Content to depict. Are there enough cards that are worth reprinting?
God, yes.
Well, that's the thing, is if you do...
Yes.
Yeah. Including Modern Masters and all that?
Yes.
Yeah, because they can just double up on stuff, I guess, from Modern Masters. Yeah.
This would be a good avenue.
Although I'll be bummed if they complete the sword cycle here, because I don't think.
Snapcaster Lily, I mean,
Goblin Guide.
Also, this will not affect the price of original cards at all. Like
0%. Right. Here's the thing. WoW didn't die when they switched to letting you pimp your shit for extra cash. Like, it just didn't. Like, it's not a thing that's having a problem for it. And they've not abused it, but that's all this is. This is like, did you want to spend an extra $30 so your deck looks a little cooler? We got you.
This is the Candy Crush of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a model that's worked really well. And the fact that it's not going to take away from anything and it's only adding is pretty cool. Like,
it fixes a lot of problems. It fixes a ton of problems.
And I don't think, there are enough cool fucking, there are enough cards to pimp out there, because of EDH and because of between EDH and Cube, there are enough secondary, I want that fucking card that nobody plays except in those places that you're going to do. Like, somebody out there, somebody's like, why won't they just pimp Teferi? I'm tired of only having a foil Teferi.
I bought a foil original Seal of Fire the other day, and it was like $30.
What?
Yeah, I know. So I'll just play one if I end up playing Grimflare.
That seems maddening.
Yeah, I know.
And you get to get the new images of Man.
Talk about the random cards. Like Chromatic Lantern is one that I love for EDH. I've always loved the card.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's really cool.
If there's any justice, I will open a Chromatic Lantern while we're playing this set. But what will really happen is you will open it next to me.
That's exactly what will
happen.
Not like
debate playing it. Like, oh, I don't know.
Are they going to be a pre-release as well at the same rate? Or are these only for boxes being shipped?
No, no. In every pack at the same rate. Basically, it was a little bit... Right around the same as a mythic foil, I think. One in every 1,200?
It's one in every four boxes, I think they said.
Something like that. One in every, like, 1,200 packs or something.
Those Zendikar ones are way higher clipping.
Well, my 0% lines up with...
I certainly was good luck for everybody else, because I saw a lot of expeditions opened around me.
Who was it at Temple that opened the four Arid Maces?
Tyler,
yeah, he opened four Arid Maces.
He opened a set of Arid
Maces?
Yeah,
a set.
I bought one off.
It was like the only one he opened, he just opened
good
four
for
of
him.
Okay, I got another Arid Mace. I'm like,
no, Tyler's awesome, but it's just like absurd that he opened four of the same one. Because he didn't open that many packs.
Yes, I mean, pack ratio.
Yeah.
I think it's great. There's nothing about me that doesn't like it. I can't wait to see where they go again. There's nothing but hype and excitement.
So,
I think it's awesome.
Recap, cool for the people who like them.
Yep.
Yep.
It's win-win.
Feel bad.
I'll never
really.
Put one in my deck.
In your limited deck?
No, I'll put them in my draft deck. I'll never put them in a constructed deck. I don't think any of them are cool enough for cube. I don't know. I'd rather
I can't see any of these like being so cool that I'm actually going to spend money on them to get.
I do love that Hangerback Walker.
Add excitement to opening packs, and they do not, and they bring down the price of
totally
the
because
set.
They sell more packs.
You sell more packs.
Well, if you equate to these averaging, I don't know, whatever, $10 to $20 of a box price, then everything else in the set is worth less because of it.
Yeah.
Then you get to sell these because you don't like them.
See, I never understood that the Hangerback Walker is an aircraft carrier.
What? That's always, that's a guy who always thought that's what
I know, I just,
what?
For some reason I never got that. It just eluded me. I know, I was thinking of things hanging.
Recurring nightmare.
It was hanging.
It's about a nightmare that he keeps having.
Well, I never got it. Back was a hanger. I'm telling you. It's just one of those.
She's the mind sculptor. Oh, he tricks people's minds.
It's the moon. I don't know. Hangerback Walker, I could almost spend money on that card.
Dude, Lightning Greaves
gorgeous.
Is going to be a really preposterously expensive card.
Yes.
I gotta find all the cards. I don't think anything was higher than $140.
$40 is that's what,
I
my
don't
guess.
I think anything was higher than
$140. Really? You think of that little?
I was thinking
every
of
EDH deck runs Lightning Greaves.
What?
There's like a
basically.
Million copies. There's foils, there's promos.
True.
Like
there was one that was the first
that's
foil
really
version
cool,
of the card. I forgot
that's
what it said.
Cool.
They did an awesome job on that one.
Yeah, that one landed the plane.
What? Lotus Petal, Mana Crypt.
There's one that's the first foil version. And
I love the cloud.
Mana
Vault.
Was it
Vault?
Yeah, because that's of course the one I want because there is no foil version.
Is there no foil Mana Vault?
Nope.
That's
gonna be.
Too.
Yeah. Oh my
I believed it was on the reserve list. I was really surprised.
Apparently not.
I don't know, guys. That's my. I just want to see the freaking Blue Alliance. I'll never stop talking about that shit.
Do we want to talk about the bathhouse Gear Hulk and all of his companions?
The bathhouse Gear Hulk.
Let me spruce up your life with some
water. Oh my god,
he
is. He really is, isn't he?
Let's see. What's the biggest feel bad while you guys do that? I'll find it.
So we have a new Gear Hulk cycle.
Yeah,
we have
new set of Titans.
We'll start with the easy one.
$40.
Combustible Gear Hulk. For one white, you can gain 3 life or prevent the next 3 damage to a creature or player.
What?
Points at home to anyone who gets that. And next we have, we'll go with my favorite, Cataclysmic Gear Hulk.
Killer card.
That's awesome. 3 white white for a 4/5 vigilant artifact creature construct. When it enters the battlefield, each player chooses an artifact, a creature, an enchantment, and a planeswalker from among the non-land permanents he or she controls, and then sacks the rest.
Bomb.
You know why I don't like the arts for these? I just realized why. They all feel like you'd open them in a little pack you got with your Xbox One. Like, Duels of the Planeswalker.
I feel that way about all of them except the Cataclysmic Gear Hulk, which I think has good art in both versions.
I like the...
So, here's what I wrote word for word. Powerful card that will at least be a sideboard card in a number of decks, but isn't the flashiest card, which should keep its price down despite its play. $6 to $8 card with dips to $4.
Yeah, it's too rugged and it's got too many words for some people. I feel like it's just, what I love more than anything is it doesn't blow up your fucking O-ring.
It's just really cool. It is different than that card everyone keeps comparing it to, but it's still powerful.
Because they get to pick, but it's really, I mean, it's pretty damn good.
It's unlikely to be outclassed by the thing that they've left on the table. And yeah, I think it's just really good. And chances are you're not playing it in a deck where you've destroyed all your own creatures.
Man, like, I'm excited for this set.
I think it's very good.
Like, the more cards you review, I'm just like legit pumped for the set to come out.
Bathhouse Gear Hulk.
Go ahead and read it, Mike.
Four blue. It's a artifact creature construct. It's a 5/6. It has flash. When Bathhouse Gear Hulk enters the battlefield, you may cast target instant card from your graveyard without paying its mana cost. If that card would be put into your graveyard this turn, exile it instead.
I put that this card would need a significant amount of help before it sees play, and it'll probably sell around $2 to $3.
It has that like thing where it feels it could do something amazing and broken. What's the biggest instant sorcery that I would do?
It feels like a improved but not enough Diluvian Primordial, which is where you're paying a good rate on a big old body that ostensibly should be. It feels like you should be getting double value for it, but you probably aren't because they're just, as you were saying, aren't the spells to support it. Like, it's cool if you are like, yeah, I'll actually counter that too, and with my Mega Snapcaster, and I will do that. But it's probably not going to happen
really
as often
cool
as you'd like.
Cool with Grapple from the past. I just thought,
well, on a super high, like not really a competitive end, but that feels good with that Ruthless Dismissal. If you have a creature, you have some other just crappy creature, and you're like, well, bring that back.
Sorcery.
Is it a sorcery?
Yeah, it will not bring back. I know. The first time I saw it, I was like, yeah.
It lost a lot of power.
Yeah.
Because you're not...
Well,
you're,
there's a ton of sorceries. They're hesitant with some instant sorcery stuff lately, too, so you're losing some...
Yeah. Well, it's so that you can't do shit like, well, I guess I'll just blow the board again. Like, it's definitely narrower because of that.
I was just trying to get, like, what's the super...
But it's great. It's also...
It is the Frost Titan of the bunch.
It is the least fair limited card I've seen
played. I mean, all of these are playable limited, I think, right?
I know, but this is just...
Playable and limited? They're... Power
I mean,
this is
yeah,
the thing where
solid.
You're in a place you go, are you fucking kidding me? Like, they just are like, I'll pop it in, I'll kill that, I'll block
it's
here,
like
and you're dead.
Like, this is a first pick. Pack one, pick one.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
under every circumstance.
It won't flash anything back 80% of the time. But it's still, like, whatever.
It does, it's a 5/6 flash monster. Attack. Yeah,
it's
I mean.
It's fine, yeah.
You keep up your mana, like, and you attack for 5.
I think the red one is actually the worst of the bunch in limited.
The red one is fucking terrible.
It's a bad card.
I mean,
fine and limited.
It's a
and
first
actually,
strike.
No, it still has
it's a first striking 6/6 for 6. That's fine.
So to the people who didn't get my joke earlier, I read the flavor, the text to Healing Solve. So, which was the fifth and worst part of the Ancestral Recall cycle.
Combustible Gear Hulk. Oh, we have to touch on the fact that with the Spanish name for Gear Hulk is Mecha Titan.
Yes, they do know there, the Spanish.
I'm loving that. I need Spanish copies of these just for that reason.
So here is what Combustible Gear Hulk is not. Fabian any person. A 6/6 6/6 first striker that can either draw you 3 cards or mill 3 cards to potentially burn your opponent's face for a ton of damage isn't value or card advantage, question mark?
Yeah, but then you'd, like, people don't,
I know.
Opportunity cost.
I tried. The people are like, won't this be good in Temurge? And I'm like, no, that's not a thing.
This is why you age. You fight with these people on the internet.
Yes.
Stay young.
And for the record, Temurge didn't have the greatest time getting to red.
No,
it did not.
No, it's very bad.
Most of the time it didn't want red.
And the whole gimmick is that you're not casting things that aren't Emrakul for 6 mana. That's the whole point was the cheating mana cost, not intentionally. And people are like, well, then you can use it to sacrifice to other things. Oh. I'm like, well, that's not good. That's the body. The whole thing you're arguing is that it's a 6 mana 6/6 first
striker.
No, but
you need to turn
good.
Your microphone
and
around
like,
so
and
you're holding
I can turn
it
into
right
Richard Griffin.
Oh,
I'm like, you've missed the
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
What this card even
half,
is good
half
at.
Your conversation there.
It is bad. Sorry. They if somebody was like, at least it's not a at least it doesn't have haste and deal 3 damage when it comes into play. I'm like, that would be a much better card. If you could just drop it and rumble for 9, like...
That's
it,
6 yeah. haste. I'd take that over the first strike.
Oh, hell yeah. And that's why it doesn't have it, because that would be much better.
No, this card is awful.
That'd be like, oh, I'd rather have a trample, obviously.
Oh, no. This card is going to see play in Sneak and Show. That's what people are saying. That is the word on the street, that people will put this card into their Legacy deck. They will choose to show up into a tournament and write Combustible Gear Hulk.
These are the same people that said the Godsend was going to be in Esper Stoneblade, right?
Yeah, I think it's the same person.
Yeah,
he's out there.
I mean, it's basically the same card. You know, why would I play any of the other cards? Why would I play Sword? Why would I play a Batterskull when I can play Godsend?
Yeah,
look what it does.
Noxious on is good. Shit cards.
Oh yeah.
Let's go to a card that
Noxious Gear
our
Noxious
dear friend is no thinks great.
Noxious is great.
Verdurous Gear Hulk.
Oh, yes. Verdinous Gear Hulk.
This card is it's a lot of beef.
No, I don't think it's Verdinous.
Verdurous. Virginous Gear Hulk. 3 green green for a 4/4 with trample. That's like terrible. Why do you think this card's good, Mike?
Cause it, 5 mana.
Oh wait, there's more text?
Oh, it gets to Gavinny Township or make an 8/8.
Or just make a 6/6 out of your.
Or just like arrange five the out power of your mana toughness of your creatures when, so that your opponent can't
when
overblock.
Virtuous Gear Hulk enters the battlefield, distribute 4 +1/+1 counters among any number of target creatures you control.
I was having a conversation and I said that this is the best limited card of all time. Oh, and they're like, well, it's not good if you don't have any creatures in play. I was like, no, then it's just a 5-mana 8/8 with trample.
Think about what you pay. Fine. Think about what you'd pay in mana for distribute 4 +1/+1 counters.
Do you remember Armament Cores? Do you remember
I
it
do
being
remember
like 4 times
sorry.
Good?
That card was so busted.
You get an 8/8.
It didn't have trample itself.
This is a perfect example of what they were talking about having choices to make.
Yes.
In
this
the
card
set.
Plays so well with Sylvan good. Advocate. Like it's completely unreal how good the two are together. You've brick walled my Sylvan Advocate? Never mind, kill you. And
exactly.
Now your guy's brick walled.
You know what
and
this
I
is?
Have a
6/7, sorry. Oh, actually it's much larger now.
It's unreal.
This is an auto include in modern in the Malira decks.
Yeah.
How about you just have a like you said, a limited. You just have a flyer, and you're like, well, my 2/1 flyer has won the game. Like,
my 2/1 flyer is now a
especially if you have like
exactly.
6/5
and
flyer.
I have a 4/4
boosted it, and I got a body. Like,
this
you
card
paid
is
that.
Significantly better than Wolfier Silverheart.
Yes.
Is that the name?
Yeah.
And that card like won a Pro Tour
and was unbelievable. I mean, I'm sorry,
got second at a Pro Tour.
Yeah. The Wolfier Silverheart's one of those cards that even when you cast it in cube, you're often like. They don't have removal. Actually, I just won the game gigglingly. Cause you're just like, oh, I'll just dome you for 100 million damage. And then I have these huge creatures.
It's like, well, Wolfier Silverheart gave the creature haste. Yeah, but this gives like all your creatures the ability to swing through.
Yeah.
And if they kill it, they're still insane.
Yeah.
It's just so much better than the one we just talked about with the rain.
I'll make my spirits into 3/3s, smash, and just have this 4/4 left
like,
over.
I really hope there's a deck that's just 4 Grimflare, 4 Sylvan Advocate, 4 Tireless Tracker, 4 Liliana. In this card.
Yeah.
Because imagine recurring
good
this card with Liliana. Like, how fucking insane
it's
is that?
It's a really good removal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's so outclassed that red one. Maybe they didn't want to give red a great gear hole, because, you know, red already got...
God,
even
this card is insane.
Even a reasonable curve of Sylvan Advocate into Nissa Voice, into just not play anything on turn 4, plus it again, play this. Both your tokens are, like, bigger, and then you minus Nissa, so you have, like, a 4/5 Sylvan, like, 2/3
Look, black-green doesn't need any help, Michael. It's already really got some of the best stuff going.
I just think, I was thinking, watching this, there
Grim
is a
player.
Huge misunderstanding at home, I think,
shine.
About people not getting that this card is really good.
I think that this card looks too much like a casual card.
Yes.
It looks like it's an intro pack
yep.
Hydra.
Yeah.
It's what it looks
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
It's way better than almost any Hydra ever printed. It's
but if just, it looks like it.
You know, I mean, it's literally better than any Hydra ever printed. They've never printed a good Hydra.
Rock Hydra.
Pelucranos was very good.
Pelucranos,
oh, no,
yes.
You want to know what? He's so good. I forgot that he was a Hydra.
he's great.
Oftentimes they say Hydra in the name, so I understood. Yeah,
that's
look.
Right. He's the only one that doesn't say Hydra. Oh, that's so true.
Yep.
Good.
So, I think we're all in agreement that card is
That's
sweet.
Really good. So isn't the black one you're about to go to.
The black one is dumb. I love this card.
I don't think, okay, speaking of recurring things with Liliana, fucking luck.
How about just mono black?
Like, if you cast this card and kill a creature, you don't lose.
Yeah.
Like, it stabilizes the board immediately. It's a 2/1, and then you just gain all this life.
And it has menace. Yeah.
It
which is like, which is an increasingly
but it's just not
powerful ability.
And then you bring it back with Liliana.
Yeah, Menace can just really
weird.
Do stuff. Yeah. Like, oh, the red cave dwellers. Like, oh my god, that is Menace.
Is,
I have no chance.
There is
that.
At least one other good Hydra that does not have Hydra in the name.
Mutavault.
Liar.
Progenitus.
It's an avatar.
It's not a Hydra.
It's an avatar.
It's totally a Hydra.
It looks like a Hydra, but it's an avatar.
Damn, that's the sound of someone's dreams getting crushed. They thought you had a one-up.
It clearly is a Hydra in the art.
can't be a hydra.
Look, I'm either playing red green or I'm playing green, so, black red. So.
My one fear for this format is it ends up being a lot like the Den Protector format. Where we're just looping grapples and Lilianas to chain things.
And I
don't want that.
I hated Den Protector and the
I'm wondering, they did not come out with a card that eats graveyards elegantly, did they?
They did not.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think they want it to be good for a set.
Yeah.
And then they'll show us the hate.
Progenitus is a Hydra avatar.
Yeah, it's an avatar.
What? You made that up.
No, I'm looking at it right now.
I'm looking at it
right
now. You're lying to me, Dan. You're lying to the people at home.
No, you're not looking at it.
I am.
I'm looking at it
right
here. There are four, by the way. Progenitus. Right, I was just looking at
We're talking about these sweet-ass giants.
Destian, World Ravager.
My own things that I wrote. Let's move on to the other
Heroes
mythics.
Bane. And Ootlash the Hate Seed.
Let's start with Metallurgic Summonings, which I gave 4 out of 5 garbage fires in my review.
I just said, like, we talked about art, and I was like, what the hell is a Metallurgic Summonings in this set doing? Like,
so that is, like, the fucking
worst stopped
card
reading it.
Ever
I just
made.
Stopped reading it.
It combos with, I did see that it combos with Gitaxian Probe.
That is a lot of text.
I got to XX and I stopped reading
that,
it.
That was a comment someone wrote.
Literally. What does this even say?
Well, for 5 mana, you can Gitaxian Probe, lose 2 life, and get a 1/1. For 2 cards. But one replaces itself.
Yeah. Seems good.
But I get to look at their hand, Michael.
Don't forget, turn 5 when they don't have a hand left.
So bad. But then my Lupine can attack.
That combo is very good against Affinity. I just want people to know that.
But it's working pretty hard. You're working hard for it, Michael.
Okay, we'll go to the next one.
That Either can't be more than $1 right now,
it's
right?
It's got to be negative money. Like, you have to.
Now, that's a bad feel. Open a foil of that in your box. Ooh.
So, Aetherworks Marvel, the Sam Black Invitational card.
Where the hell is that?
That's the artifact creature,
it's
right?
The Millions of Effort card.
Where am I finding that?
I just...
But that's...
Like, it's a really cool card. Oh, I understand
yeah.
that it has a powerful effect.
Metallurgic Summonings is pre-selling at $1.76.
Yeah, I will... If anyone,
plenty available.
So, out there, if anyone would like to purchase my future Metallurgic Summonings at $1, I'll sell them to you cheaper than pre-sale. I will do that.
Mike, where's this card you're talking about? I'm not seeing it.
It's a 4-mana legendary artifact. When a permanent you control is put into a graveyard, you get an energy counter. Tap, pay 6 energy counters. Look at the top 6 cards of your library. You may cast a card from among them without paying its mana cost. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order.
Most of the energy cards...
Let's talk about energy now, then.
...are aggressive.
Yes.
Like, and you do not want the top end of your deck, your energy deck, to be this. Because when you hit something, it'll be cheap. And if you draw this card without the enablers, it does literal nothing.
That's exactly what I was trying to explain to somebody, the Combustible Gearhawk. If you power it out, your opponents haven't taken any damage, so they can feel free to take whatever damage you can do to them, and if you're trying to put it on the top of your curve, then you want all your creatures to be cheap to put lots of pressure on them,
so
you don't have
that.
The lands to pay for it, or you do have the lands, and then you draw nothing but lands and no pressure, and it just doesn't work. And this also similarly does not work.
But they may have downgraded that red one, like we said.
Like, I don't think this is a card you ever want to play in a fair Magic deck. I think if you play this in a combo deck, it might be busted. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
if there's a way to get to that kind of stuff where you, to six, quickly get to six where you have some, there's
every
things.
White creature's like, here's two. But what?
4 energy. Mana is a lot of mana to not impact the board in standard. You could be casting Gideon.
Yep.
Kalidus, Gideon.
Yeah.
What do we think about energy though?
I think it's really cool.
It's gonna be fun.
I think it's really weird that there's no indicator. Yeah. There's no energy. No, they said they don't want it to be.
Oh, it's
no, you're supposed to. It's on the player, they said.
It's on the player. Yeah.
So it's going to be like keeping track of storm count, which is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
You're going to another die.
Yeah.
They said Pokemon energy cards are going up.
20 little chits at pre-release.
I don't. I really. You know, I was.
Well, there's,
maybe
there's a little energy.
That'd be cool.
There's an energy token that's going to be in the
fucking token.
Cards.
I want chits.
Okay. Well, those Pokemon tokens
in
going
this
up.
Set.
But the
Pokemon.
Yeah.
Pokemon. But the
token.
I was skeptical about vehicles.
What?
And I'll give them a chance.
Yeah.
I do not see myself playing an energy card.
Pretty sure
in
I've already
any
seen
constructed
it.
Format under
Some
any.
Some of them are very good.
I know. I just don't like it. I just
pretty sure it's
the incinerate one is the one that I'm just like, yeah, that's fine.
Well, yeah, that does. Three.
Yeah,
it does three at
it's
worst.
It's a playable magic card.
Yeah, which is fine. But I'm not an energy deck with that thing.
I think the most powerful energy card in the set is the land.
Put in the next one.
Yes, that card's great.
Because it's a land that adds a resource, and it's
ooh,
just like
payoff there.
And it's already a card in Modern that was seeing play
yep.
in like random decks.
Gemstone.
No, 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 no. Yeah. Different card. Tendo Ice Bridge.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
The Aether Hub?
I think so, yeah.
It gives you the Wingding mana or an energy for any mana of any color.
Aether Hub, yeah. So yeah, so it lets you, it lets you, you can pay, you can just get, it's awesome. I love this card. And I love, like, burn them and go sort of first turn you can do any mana you want. And other than that, I think it's really cool.
Yeah, no, I think that card's great.
It's also beautiful, and it's going to be amazing in foil.
Yep.
That double true. I just don't think I'm going to play, I just don't know if I'm going to play it or like it. How many energy you got? Oh, you got six, okay. Oh, you can tap my guy down and get +1.
No, it's just gonna be times when people, like, forget to add energy, or their opponent doesn't realize they added energy.
Oh,
or
you get a +4/+4 and menace your whole team. How did I not see that?
Yeah.
Cause the card over there has a block of text. There's the white enchantment that has four things of text.
There's gonna be a lot of recounting. Yeah. Like, in graveyards.
Yeah.
The thriving cycle is fucking great.
Inadvertently omitted from the original print run of Kaladesh. The energy tokens were inadvertently omitted from the original print run of Kaladesh.
Ah, Chris is
they
right.
will appear in subsequent print runs. So they will be in Kaladesh, but
I
not
feel
in
much
the
better then.
Yeah.
Initial print run.
I read like 2 days ago.
Okay, yeah. I don't read.
So in the meantime, use this downloadable energy
park.
Counter token.
All right.
You see that? Look at that island. It looks like a water park.
Yeah.
That's kind of loud there over
there.
Hush? It's Buffy.
No, it's Hush.
No, it's not. It's not Buffy anymore.
It's Hush. I've seen this. It's great. I haven't finished it, though.
I
don't know. I'm very skeptical on
the energy symbol.
I hate, I don't like
it. I watched the PAX panel where she talked about how she made it, and it's just, I think it's a terrible symbol.
I like it. I think it fits. I think that my most played card of this format is going to be Thriving Ibex. 4 mana 2/4 comes in with 2 energy. When you attack, you can pay 2 to put a +1/+1 counter on it. 4 mana 3/5.
While you guys are talking, I'll just rattle off the bad cards. Rishimi, Eternity's Crafter, EDH General. Demon of Dark Schemes, stupid art.
It's really stupid.
Angel
stupid
of Invention, name. Gut feeling this card is bad, even though it looks good. I have no idea why, I just have a feeling.
Well, everyone's saying that's going to only be okay when Avacyn's gone.
No, that's an insufferably powerful limited card that it will not see any play anywhere else.
I didn't
even
put that together in my head because I didn't even want to think about this card. I just have a feeling it's not good enough.
I agree with that.
Everyone's all...
Want to know why? And I can tell you why. Because it makes ground creatures and it's garbage.
Yeah.
Well, Dubious Challenge, everyone's speaking
Demon
of those
Dark
around.
Schemes. It does have stupid
you
art,
You
want
to know what this thing is?
Very stupid
If
art.
They wanted Angel of Invention to be a real card, it would have cost 4 for
four.
This.
So, but then another 4 Angel that they've got, which is like 2
might
sick
be.
Ones.
It will never see play other than sideboards, and that does not make
and
a card
EDH.
You
said the Bruno, whatever it is.
I don't consider EDH a format. I think it is very fun for
We have decided we are not going to do that. EDH is, of course, a format, and our beloved listeners are allowed to enjoy themselves any way they want.
98% of that masterpiece is for them.
I love that it exists. I just, I don't consider it
Not to mention that we had a substantially higher number of EDH players at TippleCon this year than we've had in past years, so that might be a good group for us to reach out
and
to.
And then I have a very small list of playable or interesting
What's your madcap experiment conversation? How does that go?
Modern hype!
Yeah, nice.
// who knows?
Yeah, everyone's so hard on that right now. Everyone's so pumped on that card.
See?
That's true.
Yeah, I did write that.
It does a weird, interesting thing.
So for the people at home who don't know what magic cards do, you can madcap experiment into the big fat guy.
Dark
Platinum Empyrean.
Oh my god.
You will not take damage.
Yeah.
Toolcraft Exemplar isn't even a 3/2 all the time. It's only at the beginning of your combat. What a horrible, horrible card.
It's powerful.
It's bouncing.
Let's read what it said. Apparently it's powerful if the tools exist with it.
That's Tool Shaper Power. I'm talking about Toolcraft Exemplar.
Wait.
Oh, that's the original name. That was the yes. No, this is the same card. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
That was the initial translation with the Super Paradigm.
It's fine. Whatever.
1 mana 3/2. That's not really a 3/2 all the time.
Yeah, but if there's like that into Smuggler's Copter, get him.
Yeah, but then why do you want a Smuggler's Copter? You ain't gonna do anything with it.
Yeah, and then you just play something else the next turn, and then you get him twice.
All right.
Just get him.
I was just bummed. I don't like that.
Imagine this card existing when Tempered Steel was a deck.
Yeah, I know that's dumb. Wait, no, it isn't because it's not an artifact.
Still, there were payoff cards in the deck that weren't artifacts.
I suppose. I'm just bummed. I'm bummed. It seems more like an uncommon to me.
Often print threaten effects for 3 mana anymore, do they, in limited?
Not usually. Yeah, 4 or 5 plus a thing.
Yeah. Hijack is just 1 red-red.
But it only hits vehicles. Or artifacts, rather.
No, artifact or creature.
Oh, it's better. I thought it was just artifact.
Threatened.
Okay, cool.
So,
except it's worded strangely, because you, instead of untapping it and then gaining control, you gain control and untap it.
I don't remember what card this is. Scrap Heap Scrounger. I said that it's the type of card that will see Trialing Cube. Powerful and rad, may make right? the leap to constructed. Bulk floor, but $5 upside, and may see play an Eternal.
Those are the two.
What
the,
card is this?
The Bulmat and the Scrap Heap Scavenger, which are next to each other, are getting a ton of hype in terms of.
I just said
feature.
The card was like, oh. I was going to try it in the cube, and I don't
Scrap
remember
Heap
what
Scrounger
was.
Is 2 mana for a 3/2 artifact. Can't block. Okay, yeah. Exile another creature card from your graveyard for 1 and a black. Return Scrap Heap Scavenger from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Yeah, it's the dredge card.
It's the dredge card, but there's the red one that stacks cards up. You can exile cards. The Bulmat Courier.
Oh, low power level, but may fill a role in red in some weird red aggressive deck.
Yeah, I like that card a lot.
Which one?
I think it's Bulk City.
Oh, it is, but I like it.
Yeah, I think it might see play in red. We'll see. Smuggler's Copter. I put gas, and it'll be $4 to $5 easily. Ooh, Christian will be listening to this podcast, so let's talk about his favorite card from the set.
Yeah, right.
Campbell, Console of Allocation. I said that it will not see
that?
Wide play, but is an awesome board card. Would someone please read it for us?
Smuggler's Copter is pre-selling
That's
for like
That's not what we're
right
talking
now.
About okay. anymore, Daniel.
I was just filling
I'm
in.
I'm glad
details.
We need this.
What are you looking for?
Campbell. Bruce Soup. Campbell.
Campbell...
Whenever
comma,
it's
good.
Oh yeah, you do it. I'm gonna pee.
One okay. colorless white black 2/3 legendary creature. Whenever an opponent casts a non-creature spell, that player loses 2 life and you gain 2.
Yeah.
I thought this was a non-legendary card and thought it was going to be the most oppressive card ever printed.
He thought it was a non-legendary most oppressive card ever printed, but then he was wrong.
I don't know if Hate Bears wants this.
It definitely does in the sideboard.
Yeah.
Good luck, burn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about
It definitely shits all over burn, doesn't it?
Good luck, storm.
I think it does.
I think it's just like a perfect little hate bear that costs 3 and isn't a bear.
I think it does more against Storm than it does against Burn, because Burn can dump a lightning bolt into it and then just keep going.
But hopefully you rip the hand
apart. Yeah, but you still drain them.
Yeah, you drain them once.
4 mana
yeah,
swing. 4 life swing.
It also, like, so it blanks their creatures. They can't attack Goblin Guide or Eidolon into it. Or Swiss Spear, because if they try to make Swiss Spear bigger, you're going to drain them. So I think the card is great against Burn.
Yeah. I mean, I was just saying, I think it's better against Storm. Because Burn can just shoot it and then keep going. I mean, I'm not saying it's not good against Burn. I just think it's better against Storm.
Way. I just think it's really powerful. Good against blue control decks, too. Especially, like, Esper Mirrors. Like, imagine boarding that card in. Ugh.
Yeah.
Good luck beating it once you board out your removal. Next up on my list, Pia Nalar.
Pia.
Oh, Pia.
This is the intro pack rare, I'm guessing.
I think it's too complicated.
This is...
It is complicated.
I look at this card, and all I see is Zurgo Bellstriker. Like, everything about it is Zurgo Bellstriker, its price history, what it's going to do.
The amount
so
of play it won't
be. So it's 2 and a red for a 2/2. When it enters the battlefield, you make a Thopter.
Zurgo won a purple.
For 1
That's
and a red, target artifact creature gets +1/+0 until end of turn. And for 1 and sack an artifact, target creature can't block this turn. And it has just gorgeous art.
It does, but it's one of those cards that...
Yeah.
Doesn't at all feel like a legendary creature. Like, you would not, like
I really want to like it.
It looks like
the
guy from Origins, the Thopter Engineer.
Yeah, it just looks like an
guy.
Uncommon.
Like, it's just really, I really want to like PNLR. I don't know why.
It looks like a Thopter Engineer.
Yeah.
That gorgeous art is
here's
why.
The thing. I think that
is
this
cool.
is likely a card they played with a bunch, and we were talking about where the skies were in this thing, and that fire-breathing effect on any random Thopter is a potentially powerful effect, but I don't think anything else about the card justifies
Should've
it.
Should have been 2 mana.
To do for her.
That'd be a lot of abilities for 2 mana.
Yeah, but I think
two,
it's
two
still
for two
be
that does
a
all those
fine
things.
Card.
Yeah.
Or
so it was
three?
Like a 3, or she was a 2/3. Like, there's a lot of ways this card makes it, they could have made it look like they wanted
you
it to be played.
Changed a lot in development,
like,
maybe.
Like one red for fire breathing.
Wizards is like always terribly afraid of two things. Making combo good in standard and making red good in standard.
Yeah.
Well, look at the red gear haul, because we just talked about it. They knew they didn't want to give him a great one. Well, I don't know. Like, two mana would be insane.
Because
here,
they have yet
get a
to
one
figure
one
out how to make red anything other than just burning people to death, and it's not the most engaging playstyle.
Does yeah. Pops is going to be just a red?
He's dead.
Pops is dead.
Oh, okay. So she's pissed about it, right?
But yeah, I love this card, and yet also I'm like, okay.
I want to like it. It's cool art.
I don't see me sleeving that up ever in a constructed deck.
It's a fucking unbelievable limited card. Like it's so stupid. It's
perfect.
The things that you
especially in this
for.
Format with the somewhat spotty removal, like it's a lot of card. Yeah. But
a lot of blink effects in the format too.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's my concern about how but it'll be interesting. The limited format with so many blinking effects.
Well, because I think blink effects are kind of cool in this format because there's so many times when the vehicles are just like I'm huge coming in. You're like block with my guy, blink it, like get an effect out of the blink. That's cool. I like it.
You see this, the what they're calling the Splinter Twin Hoser that was a little late? The authority of the console?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen someone say Splinter Twin Hoser and be correct.
No, like, I know. Well, because it's...
You know
Splinter
what?
Twin just got so many people looking at it and just
cast Lingering Souls against Splinter Twin.
Yeah. but
it is interesting
because Splinter Twin is the answer to all questions. It's the best.
Yeah, look at how, like, stupid modern is now.
People figured it out.
Yeah, your turn 4 format with Splinter Twin just became a turn 2 or 3 format without it. Like, yeah, great rule.
Soft spot.
Modern's fine, but it's significantly worse. Like,
it's healthy. My favorite was the 3 month period where everybody was just over talking about how healthy it was, and then like,
yeah, and then people were like, wait,
actually, we'll just play whatever. Like, people will just physically play it because that's what they're doing. They're playing the format, but I don't, it's less interesting now.
So nothing preys on Infect anymore? That's what you're saying?
What are we on now?
Lathnir.
Oh, I love this card.
Yeah, I said
speaking of energy.
Oh, this is in a lot of people's decks, of like early construction.
What is it?
Okay. Cause I saw zero feedback when it first got spoiled and I was like, I was too high on it. Okay. I really was. I thought this card was unreal.
What's the name? They're writing about it. There's some people writing about it now.
Lathnir Helion.
Read it out for us.
2 and a red for a 4/4 creature, Helion. It has haste. When Lathnir Helion enters the battlefield, you get 2 energy. At the beginning of your end step, sacrifice the Lathnir Helion unless you pay 2 energy.
Yeah. Do you remember, Keldon? Marauders.
Yeah, this is a lot bigger.
Yeah, this
does a lot more damage.
This attacks twice. Like,
yeah.
And if you have energy, it keeps attacking.
You're like, heaven forfend, you have some other way to do it. Like,
and
it's just huge.
It's like an enabler to the energy thing.
Yeah.
Like, it adds energy. If you just want to sack it in a turn, you know it's not getting
through
again.
You got an attack out of it.
It's great in mono red. It's perfect in cube.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I love this card.
I'll look at that build.
You can collect
hell
a company
yeah, not
into
Helion.
It.
Get out of here.
That's fucking on your end step.
Modern deck. Noble Helion.
I'm having trouble finding it. You're mispronouncing that.
Lathnir.
It's not Helion, it's Helion.
Helion.
Yeah,
Helion.
Jerry wrote about
Helion.
It in some sort of in an aggro build. Let me go find where he ended up on.
There's a big difference between a Helion and a Helion.
No, but it's spelled the same.
No, it's not.
The same
Helion
thing.
Would have
worm.
One L in it.
It's a big roto rooter.
It's rare that I know
worm.
The card
yeah,
before
feisty roto rooter.
It's a dune worm.
Rooter. That is no Shai Hulud, sir.
Dune
I
reference.
Know Shai Hulud.
And you, sir. I know Shai Hulud.
So, yeah, this card's great.
This card's great.
Yeah, this card's great.
Let me tell you about that build in a second.
We'll move on to Padim EDH Text Guy. I don't remember what it does.
That's the blue one, right?
I just wanted to point out that this set will be highly opened.
I just want to point out.
He has a shot at a long-term potential, like other cards that give hexproof to artifacts and EDH. Now I know what
it
does.
Right. That's what it was. Yeah, it's he gives 4 mana, 1/4 artifacts you control have hexproof. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you have the artifact with the highest converted mana cost, draw a card.
I did see that it makes Tezzerator unbeatable in Modern because he has 4 toughness and you cannot bolt him.
That's pretty good.
Yep, unbeatable.
You still have to play this card.
Unbeatable.
Padim.
Like the Lathnir decks, a lot of them were including
are they
Bushwhacker.
Or mono red?
Mono red, they have red black.
Okay.
And then but basically it would revolve around some sort of, I mean, I'll show it to you, but Bushwhacker and stuff.
Does mono red's curve start on 2 now? Is there a 1-drop anymore?
Blood Gorger.
The Avengers Apprentice.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the Avengers Apprentice.
That's a reasonable magic card.
Yeah, the Avengers Apprentice is the one drop.
Okay.
He evolves the starting block there, but that's his, the mono red. And that Apprentice is a one drop.
Oh, and it's playing that Courier.
Yeah, the Courier, the Bushwhacker.
Copter.
Just, copter, yeah. With small creatures and...
Oof.
Scorch.
Yeah, that's why I was going, oof.
Yeah. That's just the red one, but it goes on about, and then it goes red, black.
What is Spark of Creativity?
Oh, that's the one that you deal... It's cool.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, I didn't see this card.
Fancy tablet action.
I did not see this card. Choose target creature, exile the top card of your library. You may have Spark of Creativity deal damage to that creature equal to the card's mana cost. If you don't, you may play the card until end of turn. Oh, that's Variant City.
That's
I want
weird,
nothing
yeah.
to do with it.
Yep.
Well, let me see what where he gets for the better build.
Does Baltaic Brawler seeing any play? Do you think?
I think it has to.
It's a lot. No. Red and a green for Gruul a 3/2. You get 2 energy when it enters the battlefield. And whenever it attacks, you can pay an energy to give it +1/+1 and trample.
Standard has become too mid-rangey. You have
you
to be
you
like
don't think you can have a
absurd,
really aggressive like a rule deck.
You have to be absurdly explosive or go way over the top, I feel like.
Yeah,
maybe the Counterspell will fix it. Yes.
You know, there's like this aggressive
I'm
Gruul
so
deck
excited.
Just doesn't
just give
exist.
Me miscalculation. I've been asking for it for years. I want miscalc.
It's too fair and balanced.
It's the best blue card ever printed.
Yeah?
It's so perfect.
Is it on your list?
Yeah, that's a gold deck.
You didn't talk about it.
That's a gold deck.
This is great. This is great for the people at home.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, he'll say
you guys can keep talking. Don't worry.
Mike's reading. What are
we were going through your list specifically.
This card does look... This deck looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jerry's... Oh, 420?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Cloudblazer 420.
3WB for a 2/2 flyer when 420 Cloudblazer RIP in peace enters the battlefield, you gain 2 life and draw 2
Kick
cards.
Kickflip 360 no scope headshot, yeah.
That's so much card. Oh, yeah, it's a lot of card. What are you gonna do? I mean, is it gonna see play?
Moleblazer? No, I don't think it's constructed playable.
No.
This is like the silliest limited card ever, though.
I also don't know it has 6 wings.
Because it needs them.
It's a human. I don't understand what's going
4
on.
4 plus 2 is 6.
Oh.
What's a twist?
Oh.
4
but
plus 2 is 6.
It's
That's
an awful
it six
lot
wings.
Of stuff going on. And it will be like the most oppressive card to play against.
Yeah, even
limited.
If this card isn't good, I'm just going to way overdraft it. I love this
I
card.
I think this card will be good in draft. I mean, unless blue-white just isn't it.
No, it'll make blue-white good. Oh, see that? Look at the card. Look at the cards that it's like. Moldrifter and Phyrexian Gargantua.
That's all you've ever wanted to do.
That's all I've ever wanted. oh man, Fumigate.
Yeah, I was about to say pretty good Wrath of God.
Yep. I put that it is the most powerful Fumigate. Of the 5-mana sweepers. That life gain is huge in the same way it was great on Sphinx's Revelation, but maybe weaker due to I put equipment, but I meant
so it's
vehicles.
3WB Wrath, and you gain 1 life for each
creature
that
dies.
Which is a big deal.
Yes, that's huge.
It's like it's so super over punishes over committing.
Yeah,
it's
because what this does is it lets you Wrath and stabilize at the same time in different ways with your life total, so that when they commit the next turn, you're already at a better life total.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
This card's very good.
Cultivator's Caravan, we talked about that. That's the mana rock that turns into a 5/5.
Yeah, I think that's my pick for, well, I guess the Sky Sovereign's the most underrated, but of the rares, I pick that. Because I think everyone's picked up on Smuggler's Copter.
Yeah.
It's in so many early brews.
Cruiser, I said that it crunches Planeswalkers and is a perfect curve topper in mono red.
Oh, is that the thing we discussed already?
The 4-mana 5/3 Skizik.
Yeah. That card is very good.
And for the land cycle, I said they're all great. Will be undervalued in standard. Get your foil play sets for modern.
Yeah.
Are there any other feels on any random rares? Oh, just so everyone at home is clear, it is Vampire Whitehawk and nothing else.
Uncommon, Michael.
Nothing else. You do not call it anything else.
Dwarven Whitehawk.
Oh, I forgot that. The
Image Spear?
Yeah, tap just your 4-mana sacrifice, search for Ensnaring Bridge.
I
remember. What's it called?
Inventor's Fair.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Inventor's Fair is a very good card.
It's cool art too.
You know what really bugged me on the Metalwork Colossus,
you know,
on the
really
Mythic spoiler page, where they have like the little suggestions down at the bottom, and neither Blightsteel nor Darksteel Colossus was down in those little suggestions at the bottom. Like they missed the stunningly obvious comparison.
But that's not really.
Have you ever seen them?
But the cards that they likened it to are perhaps a little bit more.
One of them
like
doesn't
it.
Even have the word Colossus, and nor is it an artifact. It's a fucking
Ghoul
Tree.
It's a golem that costs.
Yeah, but it's by it. Like,
it's a fucking Ghoul Tree.
But it does the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same card.
No. It's not the
it's
same.
It's even a 10-10.
Yeah. I get the Mysekinth Golem. That one I'll give
They're me. The same. It's the same ability, Dan. It's just the Ghoul Tree is affinity for dead it's shit. Not. This is affinity for artifacts.
Not the same.
Unfortunately, it's the affinity for non-creature artifacts, which I think is really dumb.
You can't Mirror Enforcer into it.
Yeah. Because that would be a powerful combo. Emptying your hand to play a 10-10.
I just love
half.
How everyone's like, that card's busted with Mirror Enforcer. It's like, stop playing Mirror Enforcer. What the fuck is wrong?
I do like
that. That was the Allosaurus combo deck. When people are just like, yeah, use Mirror Enforcer into a Gristlebrand. Stop.
I do like the flavor
your time
text
is
on,
worth something.
Oh my god, Dan, you even what? Went ahead. How many days ago is this? He even left the comments.
Yeah, I left the comment.
How dare this card be exactly the same in every way?
This is bad, Dan.
It's not bad.
Our time away, we're just leaving bad comments.
The people didn't even like say negative comments to you. That's
I
how
know.
Bad
they
that
were
comment
just, they didn't
was.
Know what to do.
They were just
yeah,
smiling.
They thought you were right. That's what happened. That's why.
Achievement unlocked.
This card is number 167 out of the set of 234.
The Morlocks of the Mythic spoiler community were like, you are one of us now, Dan.
I thought you were going to have a little bit more commentary haterade on the dubious challenge.
This card reminds me of a better Ghoul Tree. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, everyone else is like, this reminds me of Ghoul Tree.
Like, what about dubious challenge?
It's dubious.
I think, well, I'd like to point out that I was very wrong on Collected Company, and this card is easily the next Collected Company. This card is completely broken.
you were wrong on Collected Company?
Oh, I thought the card was unplayable.
Yeah, right? Me too.
Because I spent the majority of my time arguing with Christian that he wanted to play it in Hate Bears, and I was like, just play Restoration Angel. This card is not good.
Yeah.
And I did not see it for what it was, a combo card.
Can somebody explain to me?
And then they predicted a ton of three drops.
No one could have expected. That does not happen.
Yeah, tons of insane three drops.
Well, the problem is, like, Magic now is, the spells aren't spells, the creatures are spells. Right. That's why Collective Company is a powerful card.
Yes, because they come with something and they're already
I'm too old school in my mindset.
I feel you.
This card, help me, because I don't, this is a bad card, right? It's like an exquisitely bad card.
Which one?
Imagine if I put two. I don't like it. Yeah,
so my favorite part about this card is
throw it on the table.
When you cast it, you can only see one creature and your opponent gets it. This is the worst Magic card ever printed. Yeah. Oh my god, we broke it!
No, because they cannot take it. You'll get
two, and they can choose not to
take
it.
And then you're forced to take
the
phage.
You can't even force them to take the card.
Oh,
they have to choose to take it.
They get to choose.
Mindslave them, cast the spell.
Can you insert the card into their deck somehow? Like, and then mindslave them?
Oh my god.
No, I think this is a stunningly unplayable card.
Oh yeah.
You know what it is? It's the red 7-mana enchantment for green.
No, this is the joke. They like, they're like,
it's,
hey, remember Collected Company? Yuck, yuck, yuck.
It's pre-selling for 30 cents.
Enjoy opening it as a rare.
Is it 30 cents? I would have thought some people would be
like this. This is the kind of stuff. And here's the thing. It's also called Dubious Challenge, where they're like, clearly that's
I challenge
what
you to not.
Right.
This card was printed for Hyatt, where he's just like, you know what? I accept the challenge.
You know what?
He will. He absolutely will.
Yeah.
But I honestly sat there and I kept looking at it and being like, I feel like an idiot because I obviously don't see. I'm like, I'm reading the words.
I'm looking for it. Yeah.
And I'm like, there's a thing I'm missing.
I'm rearranging the words trying to make it like, okay, wait, if I got two And they got no. Yeah.
So like, this is the Sigarda's aid of this except,
dude, I lost some decks drafted with Sigarda's aid. I'm like, this is impossible.
I previously said that Sigarda's aid was the worst card ever printed.
Flashing the O3 shield
challenge.
What?
Some people take that challenge, this dubious challenge, to make these cards. This one's
see,
rough.
My dream
this one's
is
rough.
I want to see someone cast dubious challenge, flip their cards, and just be like, Noxious Gear Hulk, Noxious Gear Hulk. And they both come into play, and they kill each other, and it's 4 mana each player gains 6 life.
Yeah.
That's as good as this card will be.
It's as good as it's going to get.
Oh, I can't concoct a scenario where I would.
It's impossible.
Yeah, like, I can't figure out a scenario come up with how this could be great.
Already figured it out. This card is actually devastating, spelled incorrectly. Think about it. You ramp T2 and or T3, cast this T4, pull out a couple of Titans, blink the one your opponent picks with the extra mana. Now you have 2 Eldrazi Titans turn 4.
Yeah, that's got 21 likes.
Yep.
And people...
How much mana does this guy have? Oh, I'm just blinking it. It's fine.
Yeah, so, no, well, you have to ramp every turn of the game, then you hit 2 Titans, and you have a spell 10. That bounces it back to you.
Yeah, you're loaded.
It's fine. It's perfectly good. It's a 486 card combo to cast something you can cast
I
anyway.
I figured it out.
For just 6.
This card combos with Ventures of the Sojourner. It does not have to be in control. Your control.
What?
It says owner. So you turn 4 this, get 2 like Relentless Rats or something, and then you play that, blink the Relentless Rat. Now you have 2 Relentless Rats to both 3/3s.
Wow. I would actually play Ventzer first, then cast it.
Oh, then you're just off curve.
No, you got 1 mana left to play a birds or something. This is terrible.
Is there a card in the last game control creatures you control or like
Brand?
No.
That used to do it.
Gruul Charm.
Gruul Charm.
Something newer does it. I feel like it's a goblin or something like that.
So it's a combo deck where sometimes you don't hit the pieces of the combo.
Yeah, there's no
only in 10 cards.
It's not even search your library. It's
top
just
10.
The top 10.
What is
only
10 cards
left in your library? You can't even guarantee setting it up. It's
now, if it was search your library, people would be just deep in the tank to try to figure something out, though.
If you only hit one creature, you just hand your opponent
a creature.
So if it was tutor your library...
No, you can choose not to exile it.
No, they can't. You have
no, you also can choose.
Wait,
does it also say
different names?
You exile up to 2 target creatures, so you could fail to find.
Sure,
if you only found one creature,
so it's actually
3 other dubious challenges.
So it's actually better for you.
So you
to
could
like
spend 4 mana and just exile your own creature.
Yeah, you know, if you wanted to thin your deck.
9 cards.
Whoa, I've got Food Chain.
Something with
Oh yeah, there we go.
Food Chain combo. It's an enabler for Food Chain combo.
If it's devotion relevant, they'll get no benefits from it.
Did you get a body for free?
What's the one that siphons life? You'll get 2,
Grey Merchant?
Yeah.
Hey, you can give them a god.
I'm trying to think of something like...
Just give them a god.
If they get a god, they're still in good shape.
Yeah.
Well, so this card gave everyone its value in entertainment.
Yeah, it really did.
It made us think, and it made us sad. Like...
That's a bad one, folks.
Oh.
Well, I hate when they do this because somebody's like, Chaos Storm, 7 mana, red enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, throw your cards in the garbage.
Dreadnought. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a troll. It's like, this is a good riddance troll to collect a company.
I just,
So bad.
I was so wrong about collected company.
Jinx Idol.
To be fair, they didn't have those creatures in play yet. The things that made it good were not there.
All right, we're going to make a Thalia. We're going to make a Reflector Mage. We're going to make
this also isn't
Reflector
an instant.
Mage.
Good yeah, God. Reflector Mage is so good.
The most grotesque card I've
that
ever
will make,
seen.
Make
that
will make the Dovahn guy
one
better,
too,
just a Reflector Mage.
I didn't think that they could actually do that.
Reflector Mage is almost a mistake, no?
No, it is a mistake.
Oh,
it's
gotcha.
Almost a mistake.
Yeah, yeah, like that.
Why is it 2-3? There's just so many things about it that just don't make any sense.
Wait a minute. So my aggro deck can't beat it, and then it sets me back, and I can't attack through it.
Like, that thing should be a 2-1 all day long.
2-1 or a
1-1? Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't know, cost 4.
I don't know if you're reasonable. We'll worry about the power and toughness. What about the CMC?
It's like weird. This card's still, like, insane limited. Like,
yeah, still busted and limited, but not... Well, Mana War cost 3, so we fought.
Getting Kalidus Reflector Mage is the worst feeling you'll ever have in a game of Magic.
Oh, like,
trust
I avoided
me.
All the...
It's so bad.
As long as my Kalidus sticks through this end-of-turn collected company and then also their next turn,
maybe that's what
I'm
they just
fine.
Did. They're just like, you know what? We don't want Kalidus to be good. Let's just make every card make Kalidus bad. Spell Queller, Reflector Mage.
He's
They've given white blue the goods, man.
Yeah. And but it's all carried by green. A little That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we live in a world where green is the card advantage color now.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. It actually is.
So blue is unplayable in modern. It's basically unplayable in standard unless you pair it with green, because green is good and carries it.
Affinity plays some blue cards.
We aren't a living
blue
in
card.
An alien world.
We are. We really are.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I will say the black green is getting, I mean, green is just a killer, right? Like,
yeah.
The black green
is. Well, this
is
the
nuts.
Problem. So, what are the.
Red's been so fucking bad in
what
standard.
Are the two colors that have the worst creatures? Just red and blue. These are, like, really bad. Black has brittle creatures with powerful abilities, but red and blue creatures are bad, and we're in a period of time where spells are on creatures or bad. Yeah. Those are the two options. And so, of course, red and blue are middling at
and
best.
And they've grown in,
diversity, options, power.
No. I'll come back to it.
Scope.
I don't know.
Which I mean,
the creatures outside of blue and red have just gotten traditionally bulkier while they haven't improved the blue and red cards. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been trying to find ways to bring the other up to the level, and while the other one is
well, they still
now.
Have this math where they're like, we're not going to print a 1-mana 3/1 for red. We're not going to do that. Red mana 3/1 can't block. It's not going to happen. We're not going to do that. But green creatures that are 3-mana 4/4 and have an ability, that's normal now.
Yeah, you get
like
2-mana 3/3s. And like,
right.
So, I don't think Magic played entirely at instant speed is good for the game. Like, I don't think a lot of people would enjoy that.
Yeah.
But I like that. I want games where you leave up mana and there's more than one thing you could be doing.
Yeah.
That's what I want. That's all I want. Like, if your blue deck plays like a white spell, removal spell, and a blue instant, I'm happy.
Yep. And that is not
a super with sorcery focus. We talked about that card earlier, but not hitting sorceries.
Like, yeah. And I like that decks like Valakut Existence standard sometimes.
Features.
Like, there has to be those like it's cool that there's like an aggro deck. There's just like a combo that just goes over the top that doesn't have to play instants. But like, I want there to be something else.
Yep. It's interesting that like I've thought about this a lot. That as we've gotten into this Abzani period where things are very one for one, things are very value, things are very safe. I realized that one of the things that I as a younger player really liked about Abzan was that it was very safe. You didn't get blown out.
Abzan is the literal safest deck of all time.
Right, and I wasn't able to articulate that early on when I was really into that. I'm like, oh, I really like the colors, so I play big chunky creatures that don't cost me too much mana. I have removal, I interact, I can disrupt their hand. This is great. Yeah. And unfortunately, when you tilt the entire format to the most nervous, most desirous of being safe players, shit gets really boring.
Yeah, because then all you have is safe decks, and you're just, and then you stop being safe.
Right. Like,
then you should be afraid.
Yeah, and safe badly trumping all the other stuff is also bad.
Because then you force people to go over the top or beneath.
Right, right. And it ends up being this sort of like
alchemist amount.
And then you get Den Protector formats.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Where you have to figure, when you have to give something, you have to give the boring safe deck something to do against each other, and unfortunately it's cycling shit.
It's recurring that other boring safe card they already played.
Because I'm gonna be honest, like, I love Seasons Past, but watching Seasons Past get cast is the worst thing that's ever happened in a game of Magic.
Why does that go on the bottom
of
the deck? Do not
get
me
started. I'll draw 9 cards.
Why does that card go on the bottom of the deck? It makes no sense. You're supposed to be able to, you should penalize yourself and potentially deck yourself. That is ridiculous.
You can print, like, aggressive strategies right now because you have these stop gaps, like, you can print better aggressive cards. Like, if you have a Reflector Mage in the format, like, obviously the power level changes when it leaves, but you can always fill that hole. Like, Liliana is so good against aggro decks. Like, if aggro decks exist, there's, like, decent cheap removal. Like, you can let these things happen.
It's almost like that department has been, like, sitting there like, no, you guys can, we've been bringing new ideas. You guys just felt like you're just gonna get said no to everything.
Yeah.
And these other guys are bringing up these ideas of what the creatures can do, flashing like crazy. And the other department, whatever, developing those cards, the hypothetical department is just kinda like, oh my god, that, like, I slept for like 2 months or whatever, 2 years, and now I'm like, Jesus, I gotta.
Well, I'm waiting for what's the 2-mana 2/2 haste first strike, deals damage when they cast spells out of their graveyard?
I sell it.
Ash Zealot. Where's the Ash Zealot that's like, every time your opponent returns a card from their graveyard to their hand, they take 3 damage? Like, I feel like that's the kind of card they often print to sort of break this stuff up, and they haven't been unwilling to do it.
Every time a creature leaves your opponent's graveyard.
The base playable card with the good Hoser ability.
Right. Yeah. But they have
two
mana
haste that does this shit. Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of rules of what they won't do with blue and red. I won't do this instant. I won't do the draw this many cards.
But they're giving like the same abilities to other colors.
Yeah. I won't give you a 2-mana 3-damage instant.
And green does not currently have counter magic. Full stop.
That's
like what it doesn't have.
They make these hard and fast rules, and the other ones, that, like I said, they're just,
like, we live in a world where people still complain about counterspells. Like, there is no playable counterspell in any format right now.
You need to play, like, the summary dispel to try to get friggin' Emrakul's ability off or something. That's it.
Yeah, it's hilarious to, like, look at, like, counting deck, like, putting decks together and being like, yeah, I can't put 4-mana leaks in here. I can't actually, like, that's not a thing that you can do. Like, you know, Remand is good in a certain style of deck, and then, like, you look at Standard, and you're like, I guess I can side into 2 of that 4-mana one that gets rid of Eldrazi triggers. Like, that's counter magic.
As I said, the summary dismissal of the Emrakul.
Right.
But it's like, Mana Leak's not very
good. That's not a counterspell, that's a pithing needle for Emrakul.
Right. Yeah. Mana Leak's not very good when they're like, oh, whatever, 2-mana, 2-3 guy that's gonna become a 5-6. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I was blown away they printed that 2-mana shit counterspell, because it's like, oh wow, that's good for us.
Yeah.
Well, how about the colorless counterspell, which is interesting too, but they just won't do, they've said they will not do these things on those two colors, but like.
And they keep being like, don't worry, we printed another 3-mana counterspell. I'm like, you're missing the point.
Yeah.
Like, that's why the bad mana leak.
I do not want Dig Through Times. Like, that is not what I want for blue. Like, that card is. Yeah.
Because we've seen when that works too well, it works way too well.
Yeah, it's just.
Well, I'm not advocating for a Sphinx's Rev either. But
and it's interesting they keep printing newer and cooler ways to bounce shit, and blue still can't take advantage because there are no. Because
the creatures aren't hitting.
I'm gonna go on a tangent about Sphinx's Rev. That deck was not that good.
But the card is really
Sphinx's Revelation was never too good for Standard. It won literally one GP, the entire time it was legal, and it was Alexander Hain.
Yeah.
Just because people thought it was good, it was always better to be proactive in that format every single time.
Okay, but the card is really
it's very good, and it also would be very bad in a lot of Standard formats.
It's also it's just bad for Magic. It inspires. Well, this is the thing. It's safe. It's the safest card ever printed.
Well, it also erased a lot of play mistakes, which I hated. Yes. I've talked about this before, but like, if you're not going to give blue cards that are good early, you have to give them something to go over the top.
Yeah. And unfortunately, most of the times when blue goes over the top, people hate it to death. Like, it's funny because they're like, well, they don't want blue to counter. They don't want blue to draw way too many cards and pick what's going on at the end of the game.
Then what is blue's identity?
Right.
Exactly.
And you're stuck with this thing where like, they're unfortunately have chosen to agree with all of the people who just genuinely hate blue. Genuinely hate blue for no reason. And are now, we're put in a position where it really isn't that good. And yet the sentiment when you go through these comments is still that blue is excruciatingly powerful and ruins Magic.
I think a lot of people lost to very good blue players and will not be able to wipe that out of their head. And that's like, because people want to gravitate
towards
that.
We've talked about that before, the feel bad moments that kind of stick with you.
It teaches you, like, well, I wanted to do this thing and you didn't let me. And you're like, well, that's the
thing
I'm
fundamentally
doing.
No difference between a leaking a creature and doomblading it.
Yeah,
it's,
but
it's completely mental. There is no.
We've talked about it. Yeah, that's very good.
Well,
like, I got it.
No, what I'm saying is like,
you could theoretically have interest in the battle.
No, but I'm saying,
but
you know what I mean.
But yeah, in terms of like how you feel
people
about it, but I just I tapped out all turn and now you get to.
That's so easy. It's like it literally. Just,
I think it's because the learning what's powerful about blue doesn't happen until later. When you play Magic, you like, or understanding how it's powerful. You feel it when somebody across the table does it to you, but when you're looking through the cards, you don't go, oh my god, counterspell, I'm gonna stop them from doing a thing. I can obviously see the opportunity value in this. You don't do that, you're going, oh my god, my fucking dragon, y'all! And
three
then,
take inventories.
Exactly. and so you don't, it doesn't pick, and so you learn it later, and you learn it through being beaten by it,
and it
changes people's relationship with that style of play. I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that getting beaten by it makes everyone so gun-shy on blue. And then they get really gun-shy about white-blue.
Yes.
Like, that's like the, like, I remember my head getting bashed in by, like, the best white-blue deck. And like, that just has bad memories for a lot of people, I think. White-blue.
It's that Colonnade, man. Colonnade is...
that Colonnade.
Colonnade haunts the dreams of a lot of
love
mediocre
Colonnade.
Magic
players.
That
card is so good. How does it not tap? Why does it not
love
tap?
Love Colonnade.
I don't understand that.
Why does it fly and not tap?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't even being played. Was it played in Standard at that time?
Oh, yeah. Probably.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so I just, it is funny because we're in this kind of a bad spot, and I think it's because of Wizards agreeing to see the fears of people like myself and then just completely warp Magic to look like that. And
it's hard to go back. It's going to take a, it would take a while for a full,
I don't know what it looks
stop.
Like. I mean, the fact that they printed this bad mana leak is, I feel like it's a big deal. I still don't, what's it called?
I think it's called bad mana.
Oh,
leak.
I was just looking at it.
That doesn't counter artifacts. I didn't realize that the first time I read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Revolutionary Rebuff.
That's it.
One in a blue,
yeah, the
counter
fact that
target
it doesn't
non-artifact
counter
spell.
Is great. It's really strong.
What I just want to reverse Disdainful Stroke. One blue counter target spell with four or less CMC.
That'd be great.
Oh, that'd be really good.
Yeah.
Four or less or three or less?
Four or less. Four or less or one?
No, for two. One in a blue.
So they both counter four?
Okay.
What about what, yeah, like a tempo version? Oh. One blue, counter less than four, take damage equal to the counter.
Would that just be better than negate?
No.
Or just print Mana Leak again. Like, I'm fine with that, too. Yeah. And Wall of Omens.
No, but we... But
all
we got
the
three mana.
I just want Wall of Omens.
You really want Wall of Omens?
I would.
It's like the perfect magic card
also
for control.
Really cool is that Menace is prevalent enough that it wouldn't even be as oppressive as I think it could be in certain periods of time on other magic.
I don't think it's ever oppressive. It's just like the.
I think good walls are weird in Standard.
That rebuff card's nice looking art.
Yeah, I like.
Oh,
it. I
sure.
Like the card.
Yeah.
But I also think it wouldn't be that big of a deal. I think it especially wouldn't be that big of a deal right now. There's so many cards. Well, they've made Mana such a wonderful part of the landscape.
I'd be so...
It's like a $4 to $6 card.
Yeah.
Is it really $4 to $6?
It's a beautiful wall.
Wall of,
Wall of Omens?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's expensive.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he's playing Modern, kind of.
It could, it was eight.
No, people wanted to see play in Modern.
He's playing
it's down a bit.
Decks.
Like 250.
I don't know, I feel like I'm gonna play, I feel like I'm gonna play red, black, just like,
this card is
crazy crap, a green red.
Every, the back of every pack.
Mm-hmm. Right.
5 mana, 4/4 defender,
regular
gives you 4
masters.
Energy to pay 2 energy to have an attack. I don't think it's gonna be very good. I love this card, Nimble Innovator, 4 mana, 2/2 enters the battlefield, draws a card. Play the shit out of that.
I'm just glad I've already proxied up Modern Stoneblade. I'm ready to start Stoneforge Mysticking people in 3 months.
What about discard really 2, draw 3?
I think they have to.
Have we
the
talked
format's
about...
gotten too fast.
Have we talked about the Sky Whale? How
the
beautiful
Sky
Whale.
That
card is.
I love the Sky Whale.
The long fin Sky Whale.
Oh, the Final Fantasy X Sky Whale?
It's just... Yeah. First of all, Sky Whale. I mean, that's...
It's Sin.
It's just awesome.
It's Sin. Dan doesn't know who Sin is.
What about draw 2...
Sid?
A mechanic.
I'm thinking of the
Sin.
Airship.
Yeah,
Sin.
The whale. Yeah.
I didn't watch that. I didn't play that game.
The best Final Fantasy?
Final Fantasy VII is the best Final Fantasy.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
It is. I, having played both of them, I can...
But you have bad taste.
I tried playing Final Fantasy.
Video games. Not for...
Wow.
For food? Wow. Maybe. For...
I think 50 just came with a Hot Pocket.
Yeah.
Ba-bam.
What about discard 2, draw 3? I mean, come on. That's gonna... That, the red
card?
Yeah,
that's definitely a dredge card. Like, if they're playing Tormenting Voice, that card's just better.
Yeah, it's way better. I might even put it in my Vengeance
I really
deck.
Like that card.
It's good. There's a red card. Draw, discard 2. I can't find the name of it, but discard 2, draw 3.
Final Fantasy VII is the bro Final Fantasy. It is the Call of Duty of Final
Fantasy. Yeah, it's
Fantasy.
Insane. Where the hell
you
is the card
not
mechanic?
Alive,
I'm looking
really.
For it.
It's you were alive.
Oh,
you were, weren't a person.
I loved it. It's my second favorite.
Yeah,
but
no,
I was
I'm
older.
Trying,
it was like the
doing.
First. It was like, it was so different. No, you're wrong.
No, it's 2.
Oh.
You haven't played 10.
No, I haven't. I tried.
Oh, it's unreal. It's so
good.
What's
the name of the card?
I'm excited for this new one that's coming out.
Yes, I thought it
I haven't seen it. Oh, yeah, the one where they're driving in the car?
Yeah.
I think the graphics are too good in that game. I don't think it's actually going to play on a real system. Like, it looks gorgeous.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, no, that's a dredge.
I'm just excited that I have a system.
Oh, yeah,
that's up to
infinitely better than
they're going to release the Final Fantasy game.
I'm not even playing in the Vengeance deck.
We're having our own conversation while they're having a conversation.
I tried playing Final Fantasy VII, but I didn't get too far with it yet.
I love the materia.
I tried
but
it
I really love the card
because,
system
because Gronsky wanted me to do that token of Sephiroth token. Yeah.
Looked good. Came out great.
So, yeah, I was
the
happy
side,
with how it came out. And I'm like, maybe I'll... Because I read about Sephiroth.
Really
Final Fantasy
VII
is the closest to a, like, movie plot of any video game I've ever played.
They had a movie.
8 gets pooped on pretty
bad. No, but I'm saying like, you could have like just
Advent
made a movie
Children
out of it.
Sick.
Advent Children was great. It was really good.
Things I've never played
a new one's
JRPG
with...
before, so it takes some getting used to.
Holy shit. That card's great.
15?
What?
Brazen Scourge?
Whatever it is, the one with the
like red 3-3 haste?
Yes, card is very good.
That's just awesome. Man, there's some weirdly good creatures in this format.
It's like 3-4 is like the 4 ass is the...
But they're all tiny or staggered.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Fabricate?
There are so many 1-1 tokens in
yeah.
this set.
So many. What about Fabricate? Where are your heads at for that?
I love it.
What's Fabricate?
That's the one where you can either make a server or give it +1/+1.
Oh, the ability. I was thinking the actual magic card Fabricate.
Okay. No.
I'm always there for it. It's interesting, actually, because it's not a flyer, like with that, that white card from, not Sands, but whatever.
I know, Sandstone. A 2-1 as a 1-1 flyer, yeah.
Which was never a 3-2
that's
ever,
the vampire
ever.
White, okay.
Not once. No.
This, I think, has, because it's a ground creature, has some more play.
I love mechanics that are incredibly simple in concept, but sometimes are very difficult to choose.
Yeah.
And this card right here is
small
gonna
edges.
Be expensive foil, I think.
Oh,
what's your future state on Ceremonious Rejection in foil?
Gotta give me what it does.
Counter target colorless spell.
$12.
Alright. It looks sick.
I like this card.
Vintage is gonna love that card. Just absolutely
I think modern too. I think it's very good in modern.
Yeah, I agree.
It's very good against Affinity. It's very good against Eldrazi. It's good against Tron. It counters everything in Tron. That card's really good.
Yeah. That's the foil I want. Yeah. I want 4 of those.
Just countering Karn with that's gonna feel so good.
Oh, I get fucked.
Yeah.
And you leave one up. It's beautiful. Yep. Beautiful.
I think that is that'll be a very important card for modern.
I think that's why it's, especially when you see the
sideboard.
Yeah, it's a blue card, so Infect can play it, because Infect's a blue deck, kind of.
What?
Except they don't want
to. Why can't this be 2 mana?
You don't draw the
act. Okay, Disappearing Act is a fucking joke. Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
One blue with an additional cost to cast it, you return a permanent you control to its owner's hand. And counter target threat.
Yeah, I don't always play cancels with downsides, but when I don't. Like, I don't.
This is golden right now.
Oh, that's just unbeatable, yeah.
But you get to get things back on and to the battlefield.
I can return my Experimental Aviator, my powerful 2-mana, 5-mana 2/5.
Your Cataclysm, like, whatever the hell construct it is.
Why doesn't this cost 2 mana?
There's the highness.
Can you bring the noxious?
Because it's a bad card.
Back to your hand?
Yeah, fun fact, this card's terrible at 2 mana.
But Disappearing Act?
Wait, can it return land?
You think it would suck at 2?
Okay, so it would have been...
I think it's playable at 2.
Yeah, they won't even give us Deprive,
right.
The fucking hands out guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That would be an actual playable card.
I don't even think Deprive is a playable card.
No, Deprive fills a hole in a format deprived of the actual counter spell it wants. Glintnest Crane. I love this card, and I think we'll see a lot
of
it.
One of the coolest limited cards ever. It's so perfect. There's a lot of great, great limited cards that are uncommons in the set. All really fun. There's the blue one, the red blue one. Oh, I'm in love.
Oh, the one that makes Thopters?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Great. Oh god, where is it?
Then Cloudblazer 420.
2 mana, 1 and a blue, flying 1/3. When Glintness enters the battlefield, look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may reveal an artifact card from among it and put it into your hand. Put the rest in the bottom in any order. You put an artifact.
Yep, awesome.
And with some very, very nice artwork.
Why would they organize it
this
way?
Multiform Wanderer, the best card in 1997.
Oh my god, right?
You gotta give me something that's like inline. Can you please go to Mythic Spoiler so we're looking at the same things?
I'm on Mythic Spoiler.
So we just talked about the Hawk, so I would assume the card that McKenna pointed at is somewhere within the
screen.
No,
it's because I'm trying to find it on those stupid just creatures.
Oh, okay. Hey, here's a really weird Cody Banks question. You're sitting there, you've just drafted this set.
Smoking hot girl.
Heads up.
Smoking hot girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Your second baby's
out. You just open a Sky Sovereign, and the baby's crying in the back. You say, hey, he can get over it. I got to win this draft.
Yep.
No, power level. So I'm still stuck in this limited thing. Do you think power level will be high or low? Will an average deck in this be an average deck in what we just saw in Eldritch Moon? Because I thought Eldritch Moon was pretty high.
Oh, I don't know.
They're going to be very different.
It's going to be relative.
It's there's so much synergy here. Like, I think that the creatures, Eldritch Moon, that last block, you ended up, the games often were decided by 4/4s or bigger, big creatures. I think those cards would blow this format away for the most part.
Yeah, like those 4/5s, 4/6s, there's so many 4/6s.
Yeah, and like this thing, you can band your team together to make, you know, the 8/8 attack for a
turn.
Put
them in a car.
But I think that this'll probably feel low power. I think the stuff that's gonna be happening is gonna be shocking sometimes about how explosive it can be.
I think this is gonna be one of the slower sets ever.
That's not what I mean by explosive. Sorry.
He means six things.
I mean, like, there's going to be that turn where you're like, oh, tap your shit down, take 12. Like,
on turn 12, you're just going to be like, and that's game.
That's what I'm thinking. But sorry, explosive is
be like
the other thing, you're right.
Football game, kind of smash the line a few times, then all of a sudden someone breaks out and just runs for the end zone.
I'll activate my 8/6.
It was man versus car on Rick and Morty. It's going to be like that, where the man kind of pushes it for a little bit, and then the car just rolls over him and just runs him over a few times.
So you don't think it's going to be tempo. It's going to be more about the little advantages until you get your turn the corner and it's over.
There's too many things that make 1/1 tokens, and there's not a lot of things that
and
fly.
And too many 2-drops that
not
are
not a lot
that
fly, man. Flying is it's got to be a premium.
Which makes me think that the 3/2 like haste guy is just completely busted.
I think the first time I saw it, I was like, well, that's a first pick. Good but God.
Something like Racer. There'll be a lot of 2/1s that you're never going to be able to attack into their 1/1s. And then you're just going to be like mounting offenses to vehicles.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a lot of games.
I don't think I like that. I just don't like looking at
it. I'm
going
to be interested to see how it goes, because that's the worry that I have. And again, it's not the most limited removal, but like that is not a huge thing. So I think tempo is going to feel real bad. A lot of people are going to be drafting red, white dwarves thinking they're going to get in there, and I don't think it's going to happen.
You're never getting through.
Although this card is removal? So stupid.
I believe there's a 3-mana pacifism that doesn't let them crew vehicles.
Yep.
Yeah. And,
does that one give you energy too? There's one that gives you like energy as well.
Look at this card. 1/1 red, white, 3/3 dwarf. Other dwarves get +1/+1. Each vehicle you control gets +1/+1 as long as it's controlled. And when you enter, you can pay X if you do reveal X cards from your library and put all dwarves and vehicles from them into your hand.
Yes, this card would have been very powerful in Alpha.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's a lot of good dwarves. There's a lot of good dwarves.
Look, that Voltaic, the Voltaic Brawler is really good.
You can only play the copter. It's the only 3 or less.
Well, they give you, the red black removal is good. Destroy target creature. That's probably gotta be the premium removal in this set, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
The unlicensed disintegration.
Which is good, cause black is weird in this format.
I like that Voltaic Brawler right there, speaking of color.
Yeah, I have no idea what black's identity is. We'll have to figure it out.
It does have a 4-mana 3/4 common, which is pretty ridiculous. Yeah. It seems really
3/4 is all over the set.
Yeah,
like, the question is, how much energy am I getting with that 3/4? Like, that's pretty much what they all do.
I am gonna spend all of my time trying to open Aether Squall Ancient. 7-mana 6/6 flyer that will someday blow your opponent's board. So tight.
What?
So it's a 7-mana 6/6 flyer. It comes into the beginning of your upkeep. At the beginning of your upkeep, you get 3 energy. You can pay 8 energy to bounce your opponent's creatures.
Misread that card. It's still awful.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not as good as the Leviathan that I love.
You know, they got a lot of text on some of these. Like, just look at this page.
Oh, my God.
See, go to the artifact section and just glaze your eye over and look at that.
It's pretty tough.
Piles of text.
I'm incredibly worried by the
animation module, Aetherflux Reservoir.
Energy, 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 energy.
It looks terrible.
Like, I just want to say, pay 5 energy.
I can't read it, especially when there's 6 of them.
This actually, I think, is really hurt by their new formatting style.
Yeah, there's a point where your eyes can't differentiate the difference between 5 and 7.
The 3rd and the 4th, yeah.
Oh, the little energy symbols, yeah.
How about a card that says pay 50 life? I mean, we've talked about that.
Whenever you
cast a spell, you gain 1 life for each spell you've cast that turn.
Yep.
Pay 50 life, it deals 50 damage to another player.
Legacy Storm.
Get there. Probably not.
No, definitely not.
It's an alt win con for Storm.
Felidar Sovereign,
But like in the set, in this limit.
No, it legitimately is an alt win con for Storm. Cause you gain an additional 1 for every life.
Yeah.
So you just have to cast 9 spells and kill them with it, I think. Cause you gain 1, then gain 2, then gain 3, then gain 4, yeah.
I would like them to stop printing bad two mana three one black creatures at
rare. Yeah, because they keep fucking tricking me into thinking they're cube playable. And they
remember that 3-1 lifelinker that was good like, I don't know, 5-6 sets ago.
But this 2-1, 2 mana, 3-1, 1 colorless, sacrifice an artifact, put a +1/+1 counter on Syndicate Trafficker, it gains indestructible end of turn. Great, another one of these black cards. And I really hate that they're rare all the time because they're not that good.
This card should never be a rare.
I feel like we're going to be looking.
It's complicated and it's not good.
I feel like pack three, we're going to be looking at our pile and be like, we need to get some creatures.
Yes.
The number of unplayable constructed cards in this set is too damn high for rares. It's so ridiculous.
Marionette Master. 6-mana, 1/3, fabricate 3.
Yeah,
when an artifact
I did not
you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, target
like
opponent
Contagon.
Loses
that,
life
like,
equal
card?
To Marionette Master's power.
Because it's so small.
Well, let's read Knight's Oil after that.
No, go read Conti, Lord of Luxury. As Chris just said, like, look at that text. It's so small.
It's the black one, right?
Yeah.
There we go. Three. Yeah. When Conti, Lord of Luxury, enters the battlefield, look at the top four cards of your target opponent's library. Exile one of them face down.
Yeah,
then put
glasses.
The rest in the bottom of that library in a random order. For as long as that card remains exiled, you may look at it, and you may cast it, and you may spend mana as though it were any mana.
What was the part you said before?
It's got a cool ability, but wow.
Isn't
that crazy?
I hate that it's on a legendary creature, and I hate that it's on a Death Touch legendary creature, because you're just sort of like, I'm supposed to be throwing it under the bus, but it means that I lose access. I don't like anything about
can
this card.
Paragraph 2, subsection 3.
Why did they put it in the bottom in a random order? You could have just, it could have saved words, right? They put it on the bottom in any order of that library.
It just went in.
Bloody hell.
Harsh Scrutiny, I think, will see some play.
Possible.
Target opponent reveals his or her hand. Choose a creature card
from
it.
Spy saw play. Yeah. So yeah, good.
Player discard. Well, that hit Planeswalkers.
What about Lost Legacy, the actual best card in the set?
I really like the art on that card.
Art is very
kind
cool.
Of really
name
old
a non-artifact
that was old school
card.
Too.
Search target player's graveyard, hand, library for any number of cards of the name and
Infinite.
Exile. That player shuffles his or her library and then draws a card for each card exiled. This is
terrible.
Going to see so much play, and there's going to be so many. Wait, actually, let's ask. Let's see what happens here.
Let's see. I haven't even looked at Mythic Spoiler on this.
I am
one.
Very excited about this.
There are cards printed only to make me sad.
Every time they print a Memoricide.
For the record,
card.
I didn't read, the first time I read it, I didn't see that it said from hands this way, and I thought it was a draw 4.
Yeah, 3-mana instead of 4.
I was like, I will have 3-mana draw 4 and just lose access to those cards? That sounds tight. That is not what happens. Self-naming Hedron Alignment.
Like, it gets you the turn ahead you need to get take their ad nauseum.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, everybody's like me and thought that it just said you could draw
it's
infinite
cards. It's the people
cards.
Who play it in standard because they're like, I'm gonna take their Sylvan Advocates.
That's bad.
Yeah.
No, that's bad.
Yeah.
But I think the 1-mana is huge for modern. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Cyprian, any person. Okay, so imagine playing this card, targeting yourself, naming Eternal Scourge. For the record, that's the 3-mana 3/3 that you can cast from Exile, which you should run 4 copies of in your deck, and exile them all as early as possible. You will have a creature that you can cast every turn out of your exile. That is long-term value right there.
At 3/3, gets just crunched.
3-mana, draw 4 cards.
Yeah.
That you also have to pay 3
no,
mana for.
No, if they were from your hand. It only is cards from your hand.
What do you mean only from your
people right
you only draw the cards if they're in your hand. So if they rip it out of your hand. So this is the thing. You know how we're always saying the only way it would be good is if you nugged them. If you hit 2 cards in their hand and you win.
This is actually just the opposite.
This replaces that effect and gives the cards back.
They can't hear you, Chris. You're not on a microphone.
My favorite set of people on Mythic Spoiler are the ones who post a comment, get no comments or likes for it, and then repost it on everyone else's comments.
Yes!
Even better.
Speaking of
man.
Eye tests, the Aether Torch Renegade is one of those that has, I mean, I'm counting up the energy, I'm not sure if I got them right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
It's too many.
8.
Might be the best black sideboard card in a long time. It's the 3-drop.
We just have Infinite Obliteration?
Legacy.
How many key cards and decks have a CMC of 3 or more? You sideboard in 4 of these and match 2 when you're on the play.
All of them.
You've got about a 45% chance of pulling one of your first 9 cards. Instant monkey wrench. I love it. I need a playset. James, any person, store manager at GameStop. Surgical Extraction reprint would have been substantially better.
Wow. That's my feels right there.
I think that might have been Michael McKenna.
That's not untrue.
Just do the
Let's put this in perspective. This is worst. Oh, I thought he said this is at worst infinite yeah. obliteration. Okay, good job, Dustin. Any person from Miami, Florida.
Look at this. How many count these? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, wait, no, no. But modern. Oh, this effect has been done before, but not at 3 mana and non-creature. Turn 3 is a pivotal turn before most combos go off in modern.
Like, I get it. It's good against ad nauseum and literally nothing else. Yeah.
Siding in 3 or 4 of these strategically, depending on player draw, and mulligan aggressively, and you can hand you their concession when hitting things like ad nauseum, living end,
yeah.
grave shot,
would you just rather Inquisition and
will rotate auto standard once this is relaxed.
Yeah, look, I'll take any card that can hose in ad nause, but, I mean, I'm with anyone with that card.
I'd rather just cast Thoughtseize.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Would you rather just Inquisition and Thoughtseize them
yeah,
and deal with them that way?
Because really
then you'd have a playable card in other matchups.
Why do they could put, yeah. if they printed cards like this at common, people would understand.
No, they wouldn't.
Yes, I think they would.
No, then more people would have access to them.
Yeah, they would play them and realize they didn't work. The rare damages.
Trust
it.
Me, that
have
is never
going to
happen.
Oh, this is the thing that I was writing about when talking about Combustible Gearhook. I want them to keyword Punisher. Because I want people
that'd
to have
nice.
Resonant experiences that they can remember where every time they played a card that said Punisher on
wasn't
it,
good.
It was fucking horrible. Yay. So the next time we see a Punisher card, it doesn't work.
Chris's leg? Terrible.
Wow. Not that Punisher. He's great.
Well,
not his movies.
Not his, yeah. I love the one with,
yeah, I think there was
yeah,
one.
Don't you dare say
one.
Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, no, it's the one.
Oh, okay. But I think that if they did it, if they found a way to frame it so that Punisher could be a keyword, we could be over with this in like 3 cycles.
We could be over with this.
Every fucking time. Well, if you stack your deck with these fine fucking things, come on down to the ranch, you're gonna have a turn 47 win. Well, no, no, no.
Just for the record, Lost Legacy is pre-selling at 76 cents.
Hey, good job, Magic people.
I'm actually surprised, yeah.
That it's what, that low?
Yeah. It's a dollar bill.
Midnight Oil. Midnight Oil enters battle with 7-hour counters on it. Beginning your draw step, draw an additional card and remove 2-hour counters from Midnight Oil.
People want to donate this card.
Your maximum
like,
hand size is...
I actually saw someone suggest that you donate this card.
There is a donate in standard.
Your maximum hand size is equal to the number of hour counters on Midnight
you've
Oil.
Ever been in real life.
Whenever you discard a card, you lose one life. I mean, if you got it to them with no hour counters...
Then they just get a Grafted Skull Gear or whatever. They just get to draw 2 cards a turn and cast them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry,
no.
I misread it as well.
You give them a one-sided Howling Mine.
Yeah. Or you give yourself one.
Or you just don't play either card.
This is so bizarre.
Yeah, look, some guy just said the Harmless Offering thing. Hey, opponent. You can have this. Here, you have all the card advantage.
After I've suffered.
I just want to help.
And then you can have this demonic pack.
Here,
with
let me
one
give
less
you that card advantage
it.
Back by casting Harmless Offering. The fuck is wrong with people?
Yeah, this is crazy. And like one of Black's pieces of removal is at rare. This is going to be a weird format.
Why did they get a Diabolic Tutor back to them?
Because they wanted to redo the art.
And it's
great. I honestly think they just wanted to do the art, yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty nice
oh,
art.
It's awesome, man.
Dude,
sure you know
look,
probably,
another
yeah,
2-mana 3-1 from black.
That would have been sweet art for
3-1s are worse
too.
In this format than like any other format ever.
They're
too.
So
yeah.
bad.
Yeah.
Which is why there's like 6
another
of them.
Card that was yeah. in the masterpieces,
Etherborn Marauder is a fucking
yeah.
great card.
Dark Confidant of the Masterpieces, maybe.
For the folks at home, don't pass this card. 4-mana 2/2 Flying Lifelink. When it enters the battlefield, move any number of +1/+1
oh,
counters from
yeah,
other permanents you control
stupid.
To this thing. That's just a very good card.
Yeah, the Etherborn Marauder. Yeah,
it's like sometimes it's a 4-mana 3/3 Flying Lifelink, and that's unbelievably good. Sometimes
well,
it's just a 4-mana 2/2 Flying Lifelink, and I think that's unbelievably good in this format. So, I think that's great.
I would always play a 4-mana 3/3 Flyer
yeah.
in any format.
There's no format that's
yeah.
not good.
4-mana 2/2 Flyer. Is what? Oh, you mean if it gets the
yeah,
plus
just,
one counter?
Yeah.
Oh,
and yeah.
If it gets
the plus
one
counter,
it's really good. You know, they're not going to want to race you, even if you can't get in.
It's a very high variance card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I would.
There
not,
are decks where this.
I'm not
going to
pass.
Like,
yeah. I'm never going to pass it.
Not if you're in black.
I suppose there is a sub theme for Fabricate cards.
Ooh, I think there's a 6-mana destroy target creature in this format, and it's instant.
Yes.
We just had, the last one was 6-mana up to down.
I love this scavenger, 6-mana, 4/6, put something back on top of your library. Yeah. Mm. Play the shit out of that terrible fucking card. It's a crocodile! Get there! I'm gonna play so much black in this format.
Oh my god, I just know it. Oh, I can fucking feel it. I hate it so much.
That's the first thing, when I looked at the full spoiler, I was like, this black looks bad, man. And I was like, I'm gonna play it all the time.
So, I think that wraps up our set review.
Yeah.
So, Dan, do we have any upcoming events?
The fuck would I know?
So, TempoCon 2017. Hey, only two more shows till TempoCon 2017.
Assuming there is a TempoCon 2017. Oh, that's a yet to be determined.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Whatever.
We can talk about that.
That's
off
actually.
Mic. We can talk about it off mic.
A question mark at this point.
Off mic.
Goodness gracious. Okay.
So, I would like to thank our listener for listening.
Thank you. So much,
let's talk.
Steve.
I want to talk about Stranger Things, the fifth.
Oh yeah.
That can be the sign off. So, good night. Oh wait, what is the one from John Carlo's show?
Good
I'm
night,
great.
Sweetheart. Well, it's
the food's
gone.
Great.
Next
you're an ingrate.
Wrong.
We'll see you next week or something like that. Yeah.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, was that it? Are we
that
done?
We did.
Is this
gonna,
where the closing music goes?
Yeah. They're now going to talk about Stranger Things.
Stranger Things? I haven't
no
watched
one gonna watch
that
it.
Show.
You haven't watched it yet?
No.
It's so quick. 8 episodes.
I saw the trailer and it just didn't really grab me.
It's so good.
The first episode was didn't like
the beginning.
Why are there so many ostriches? I was promised only a few ostriches.
What are you doing there? You know this never works, right? When we play things. It's actually the worst radio ever.
That kid Toothless from Stranger Things can sing. Holy shit.
They said that he was like cracking them up so much like on set, like he's hysterical, that they had to like rein him in. He was just like too over the top.
He's in Les Mis.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't understand people who don't like this show, which is to say, I completely get that somebody wouldn't be like crazy into it, but it is
because of stuff you may not like.
It's so well done. Like it's one of the tightest, most driven and interesting shows I've seen. And I acknowledge it was essentially made for me.
Acknowledging the fact.
But like, it's really good. Like really good.
It's 1992.
There's just like this like a Winona Ryder thing. I just like, for some reason, I just don't like, the only thing is I just don't really like her.
What
but I know what she
has.
I know. But that's what I mean. Like, I get it. She just annoys me when she's on screen, but she's doing such a good job. And that's what,
she's
how she
like,
should
staggering.
Be.
I felt the same way. Yeah. Like, I don't particularly like Winona Ryder. Yeah. And I was like,
how do you
oh,
not
man.
Like Winona? Oh, you're too young. That's the problem.
And I thought she was going to ruin the show. And then I was like, no. Because everyone
best.
Kept complaining. Like,
she's
that
doing
she was
exactly
bad,
what she's supposed
actually,
to
wait,
do.
Are your parents still together?
Yeah.
Are your parents still together?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. There's this cool thing. So if you're like me and your parents are divorced, you have a single mom, this show is like 100 times better because Winona Ryder is so fucking badass.
No, she was
and
great.
And it's exactly what my mom would be like.
Yeah.
And so it's like there's this extra
she's
like.
She's playing it great. It's just something about her on screen. Just kind of like.
Because that's such a difficult role too.
Yeah.
That's unbelievably difficult.
She kills it. No, it's great. All that notwithstanding, it didn't matter. I got through it. I ripped through it in like a day and a half maybe. And it's great. That little girl is unbelievable.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable. Yeah. She's beautiful too, mind you.
I love the Toothless kid.
Have you seen
her
do the Nicki Minaj rap? She raps. She was on Jimmy Kimmel and did, she did the entirety of a Nicki Minaj thing. And she's just like fucking great. She's Millie Bobby something or other.
Yeah.
She's gonna be super famous. It was like the first time I saw The Professional with what's her face? Natalie Portman.
I cannot imagine you would not like this show.
9 years old, and you're just sort of like, you're gonna be in Hollywood forever.
Yeah,
like,
you're gonna
whole,
be an it girl, yeah. But she's great. She's great. Kids are, I mean, it's just great.
Yeah, Dan, you have to watch.
That means a lot more coming from you guys because you actually know me.
I think you would love it.
Yeah,
I really do.
Because
there's no way
I had
a
lot
that
of people. I've had a lot of people that have sort of known me superficially be like, man, how come you don't like Big Bang Theory? And it's like,
that's because that show's terrible.
That show's really bad.
Because they assume because I'm into things like fantasy and science fiction, I would automatically love this crappy sitcom.
No, this, it's like nostalgic to like,
or the same thing with like,
it's so cool. Just, I mean,
yeah. Maybe I'll give it a shot. Yeah, anyway,
Latchkey Kids and Stephen King. It's,
do this for us. Watch two episodes.
I will do that
actually,
for you.
Just watch it all because it doesn't take that long. Yeah, it's really good.
Once I watch two, I'll probably binge the whole thing because I've watched every episode of Green Arrow. So.
Three times. Oh my God. You've lost so much of your life to that show.
I know. It's so awful.
What show I'm hooked on? Blacklist with
James Spader.
James Spader.
Oh, are you kidding me? I hated her. I hated her so much.
I fucking love her.
Well, that ought to hold the little bastards for another week. This has been a Green Bullet Audio Production.